And welcome to 1170 WACV. Welcome to Evil Avatar Radio, episode, what are we at?
71.
71, okay, sorry. there's a lot of things that I'm not completely sure on right now, so not sure where my luggage is, but we'll figure out where that's at later on.
Where's Leroy?
I don't have, again, I am...
We couldn't make up our minds about anything. We couldn't really decide on what would be appropriate. I mean, we didn't want Leroy hanging out there all by himself.
Yeah.
In the intro, so.
All naked and such. In fact, I tell you what, right now, if anybody knows the guy who does that, I've seen interviews done with him, somebody shoot his contact information over to me somehow. Get it. I'd like to call the guy and, number one, thank him for providing us with something that opens the show every week. But yeah, that'd be cool. Anyway, welcome to episode number 71. It is our After PAX edition, otherwise known as What Did You Do This Weekend? What did you guys do this weekend?
Well,
waited to hear from me.
Yeah, yeah, an awful lot. I was hoping I'd get more regular updates from you, but I understand that your itinerary was, jam packed. I know you had stuff to do, and I'd rather you be doing the stuff and then coming back and talking about it than chatting me up all the time. Besides, I wouldn't have had, I wouldn't have wanted to stay talking to you too much because that would cut into precious BioShock time.
For me, it would cut into precious sleep time.
You don't need that.
You do. I'll tell you right now that you do need that sleep. When
3 hours
you're
from now, 3 hours from now, you can go home.
Yeah, I can go home and I can sleep as long as I want to.
Yep.
That'll be nice. I've either been in an airplane or in an airport since 5 a.m. this morning up until about 5 this afternoon. Now there's time changes there, but still, it's all day.
Right.
I have not had any connection to the internet until I just got to the studio about an hour or so ago, replying to messages and posting up the news on Evil Avatar about the show, and catching up with all things. There's apparently a picture of me and a couple other people from Evil Avatar on the front page.
I saw that. You had the mic in your hand.
Yeah, I know.
Now, was that...
See, there was this
thing. Tell me about that, because is that something that you wanted to happen, or were you like the, was there like a musical chairs type of thing going on? You were the last guy to find a seat, so you had to have the mic?
Short straw, yeah.
Yeah. I figured that would be the situation.
I was the last one to down the drink, whatever the case was.
Right.
It was, what happened was, and I kind of wanted to do this with you when you said you would never buy the special edition of BioShock. You ended up doing.
Which I did, yeah.
I wanted to go back.
Not until I saw the figure.
Yeah. I wanted to go back and get all the collections of you saying that, no, I'm not going to get it, and put that together. Same thing here. I wanted to go back where I say, I'll never do the singing part. And then what happens? In front of a stage of like, seriously, this was one of the moments, and hopefully Nick's listening. He can call in and talk about this as well. But some funny stories. We got there. I had an appointment to meet with them for playtime with the game. And so
right.
I told Bap, BA Penguin, Nick, and he's like, okay, I want to come to yours, and you can come to mine, because we both got scheduled appointments. Mine was on Friday, his was on Saturday. So we got him and two other people to join us, and we played on the little satellite station there. I was doing drums. I did drums that time. So then we come back, and the guys working the booth, they're like, hey, Tracy, Evil Avatar's here again. they want to play again. So we got up there. This time they put us on stage in front of everybody waiting in line, which there was a lot of bodies waiting in line for that.
That's what you get for taking two bites of the apple.
Then we get more people who are wearing their Evil Avatar at PAX shirts. They're almost like in a photograph pose. There's like four or five of them on their knees in the front row, and then there's another like four or so standing behind them, cameras in hand, screaming and yelling. And they've got a great setup there. And I told Nick, I said, you'll do the drums. I did the drums last time, so you do the drums. I'll either do guitar, or if it comes to it, I'll do the singing part. And so I wanted everybody else. Nobody else wanted to do the singing. I was like, fine, I'll do it. I thought we were going to be on one of the satellite stations they had set up.
Yeah.
And then when they take us up there, they put us on stage. I was like, oh, man. I'm on the main stage doing the singing part. So
Did you do any good? Were you a complete embarrassment?
To myself, yes.
To apparently, anyone else?
Everybody else seems to think I did fine. So,
okay.
But
everyone loves a good joke.
Yeah.
So.
But, yeah, so we sang, what was it, Vaseline, I think? Stone Temple Pilots Vaseline? Yeah, that's what we sang.
Well, that's good, because you don't actually have to sing that good.
I didn't fail, and it'll let you know when you fail. It definitely will, because I did fail playing the drums. But, yeah, so it was good stuff. The singing part is very strange. I don't know. I only played it on medium, but apparently when you sing, just like we saw in other videos, the voice of the lead singer comes out when you're doing the right notes, just like the right notes play when you're doing guitar. So whenever you're singing everything on key and everything else, his voice comes through and yours doesn't.
Is that at all distracting? I mean, because you're making noise and
it helped
and
a lot for me. I didn't have to hear myself.
Is it, so it's kind of like singing in the car. You sound really great when you're singing along with the radio.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Now, I'm wondering, though, if you bump it up to, like, medium or maybe hard to where they just drop that and you're the vocal and you got to carry it yourself or something like that. I'm not sure.
I wasn't
that gutsy to go that far.
I hadn't thought about that, actually, about the fact that you'd just be prompting the recorded voice. For some reason, I just always thought it would be the voice of the singer. I don't know why.
Yeah,
I don't pay enough attention.
I'd never done the singing part. The interesting thing is though, when we did the Friday night session and we were using the satellite stations they had set up, they'd give you headphones to put on so that you could hear your own music instead of everybody else doing their thing. And while that's great for you, everybody standing around you can only hear tap, tap on the drum, click, click on the guitar, and then some guy singing a song with nothing behind him as far as that. So Nick got to experience that, so I'm glad he enjoyed the embarrassment of that part more than I did. At least I had the guy singing over me so that no one could hear. But it was a lot of fun. They'd give you little stickers depending on what you played. And so a lot of cool stuff from the Rock Band thing. That was... Go ahead.
Hands-on time with people that, you know, you trust and like playing with. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about it now in comparison to how you felt about it before you ever had any contact with it?
I'm still a little bit... I'm closer to a full set purchase than I was. I really want those drums.
Significantly? Like, is this something that we're going to be playing at the house?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it'll be something we play at the house, whether it's just me and the drums. And
am I gonna wind up being wrong again, and am I going to buy something?
No, man.
I mean, because there's almost always, any time I make, you know, a strong affirmative statement, there's a good chance that I'm going to wind up reversing myself and looking stupid later on.
Only if you sing. It's kind of distracting in the sense that the way they had this set up, the way you experienced it was really impressive. It's not the way you're going to experience it at your house.
Okay.
Because they had the loudspeaker set up, the big giant screen in the back. You're all on this...
Yeah, because you don't really have speakers or giant screens at your house.
Yeah, I shouldn't have said that. Way to go! Way to go. No, that was a good point. I don't have an audience. Like, there was an audience out here. Again, they put you on a stage that's, like, elevated you up above everyone else. You're literally, you know, you're on stage doing the performance type of thing. And so that kind of carried over into the fun of it, especially when you had the evil avatar groupies in front of you, screaming, yelling you on and everything else. That's fun stuff. We're not going to have that at the house. We're going to be like, dude, don't mess up. Quit, you know, while you're playing. So that kind of fed into the experience of playing the game and therefore really making me want to purchase that. But yeah, this is a group thing. If you're not dedicated to having some people over and playing this thing, you might want to rethink your purchase. Unless you just really want the drums, because that's pretty cool.
Okay, do you have any better understanding now of how this is going to work over live?
Not a clue. She wasn't really available to talk to and ask questions.
Okay.
We walked up to her and she's like, hey, I'm here with such and such. And I'm like, all right, we're going to put you over here. You got four people? Right. You got three other people with you? And it was just all about playing the game. It wasn't really about talking too much about the game. Maybe if somebody did get a chance to talk to her, maybe you guys can call in and let us know what was said there as far as how online's going to work. I'm not too sure on how that'll translate. So, Guitar Hero 3 was not there. We thought was interesting. Guitar Hero 3 did not make a show there. An appearance. Exactly. one of the things that did make an appearance there was Castle Crashers.
Castle Crashers?
Yeah, from Newgrounds. Yeah. The Alien Hominid folks.
Yeah.
That was a fun game.
Well, tell me about it.
It's four player co-op through the thing. It's button mashing.
Through Live?
Yeah, through Xbox Live.
We're kind of fond of that.
Yeah, we are.
It really responded well to every effort to give us four player co-op over anything.
Yeah. And it looks beautiful. Again, I'm seeing, you know, every game you see out there, when you say it looks beautiful, you're seeing on the best setting that they can put it at. You're seeing it on the best screen you can see it on, you know, the LCDs all contrasted all the way up, you know, and everything else so that everything looks bright. But still, Castle Crashers looked really, really good. And even just me and BA Penguin playing it, just him and I, we were having fun with it. So Lots of fun there. There was a part in there where you're playing it, and you know you're all co-oping. Everybody's trying to kill the bad guys going through there. You get to a boss, and he's got your girl hung up on a post or whatever, tied, and you're saving her or whatever, so you kill the guy. And then you cut down the chick, and then all of a sudden, you've got to fight each other. you know, you've got to kill each other to get to the chick. So that was an interesting little twist that I didn't see coming. That, you know, it was just like, okay, you saved her, move on. No, you saved her, you guys get to fight now. So yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Any idea when we're going to see that?
November.
Good.
Lots of stuff in November.
Yeah.
I would talk to these people and I said, you guys, you know, I would talk to some of them and I would say, do you guys want to come on the show and talk about this closer to release or, you know, further out? When would you want to talk about it? And they're like, closer to release. I was like, okay, when would that be? November, December.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's literally the answer I got from everything. I was like, November, December. So
I guess we know what we're doing in November, December.
Playing games and talking to people.
Yep.
Is what we're going to be doing. If you'd like to call in the show, maybe you were there. I know a lot of people in the chat room were there. If you'd like to call in, give us a call, 334-272-9228.
Not just if you were there, but you know, if you have any kind of questions bringing up, there's a lot of stuff. You know, we haven't really been able to figure out exactly what's going on in Sykes' head, exactly what kind of experiences he had. So if you've got any questions you'd like to ask of someone who's been there, you know, call in, pose the question of your choice,
yeah,
whichever you like.
It was good stuff, and I hate that you guys couldn't come. I really did. So
yeah, we'll work on it. We'll work on that for next year.
Just kind of rough covering everything when I needed to, you know, going back and forth. I missed out on the talking to the people from EVE Online.
Yeah, you told me that. That's okay.
Because I was talking to Will Wheaton. It ran really late when I was talking to him. So, but yeah, it was still lots of good stuff. Let me just think. What else was going on?
Find a place to begin.
Deal
with it chronologically. What was it like when you got there? What was like the first thing? Because, you know, remember this was your first gaming convention of any kind, much less your first PAX.
Yeah, I'd say a major stiffy when I walked in.
Yeah, right.
I walked in there and all these displays are set up.
Not
and
so
things
sad
are going
to have
off
missed the convention now, I think.
No.
Perfectly happy having been at home.
I walk in there and first thing I see to my left is the Games for Windows setup. And that's got, I think it's got Company Heroes going on one of them, but it's also got Gears of War going on a lot of them.
Right.
Which I thought was interesting to see people playing Gears of War on the PC side of things, but yet still playing with the Xbox controller.
Hmm.
I was like, it's on Xbox 360. You can play it there. Although they've added
some
stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's got extra content on the PC.
It's got new stuff. So, and then the next thing you see is Castle Crashers to your right. Across from Castle Crashers is the Warhammer booth, which, sadly enough, I didn't take a look at it at all.
Good job. nobody's interested in that whatsoever, so good job skipping
that. Well, apparently I think Ghostbear is, and I think he's in, I don't know if he's in the chat room or not, but he won a beta key.
Did he?
Yeah, they did like a raffle.
Congratulations, Ghostbear.
Yeah, they did, I believe it was him, and if I'm wrong, somebody please tell us in the chat room, but they were doing raffles, and I think one of the things that he had said, he's like, man, I won't be happy unless I don't get a Warhammer beta key, and he got one.
Good.
So then you walk around, we got to the biggest thing that stuck out, I think, was Eye of Judgment, my first day into the show.
Right.
Because I was walking around the booth primarily looking for Burnout. It was not there. So consider everybody listening lucky, because
otherwise this would be the Burnout
episode.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, what did you think of Castle Crashers? I don't know, but you want to ask me about Burnout? so I got to Eye of Judgment, and they had a couple, they had like, I don't know, about five screens set up. Five displays set up to where you could try this stuff out, and it looked a lot. It really piqued my interest and something that I wasn't too interested in. It's card games, man, and I don't play those. You know me, I don't. But yet you add in, you make a card game that does all the work
but
for
it's
me.
But it's a peripheral, and you do like that.
Yeah, of course. You know.
well, and what's $60, right?
We asked the lady there from Hasbro. I've got her name here, and I'll mention it in a second. But we asked her. I said, "Hey, this is great. You know, you guys got it coming out in I think October, and it's going to cost $60. You're going to get all this stuff for it." And she said, "Well, it's not official. You know, it's not." Christy was her name. She's like, "That we haven't said that."
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I.
There was a lot of that.
I was going to say there's a lot of that, and it's like, yeah, okay, I know you haven't said it.
Yeah.
Kind of, still. the truth, though, most likely.
I was even talking with one of the Microsoft folks, and I was saying, oh, yeah, we're getting Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix this Wednesday. He's like, really? Where did you... Did we say that?
Yeah.
I said, no. I think I read it off of Joystick a couple of days ago or something. And he's like, he said, but we didn't say it. I was like, no, you guys didn't say it. He's like, okay, just wanted to make sure. No, I did not see, Trey called in, wanted to know if we saw Tabula Rasa. I did not see Tabula.
Tabula
Rasa.
Yes.
Again, shows you my interest.
Yeah.
Again, and
this is one of the reasons we were so worried yeah. sending this dude out as our sole representative.
Seriously, it's like a pervert into a naked store or something, you know? It's just like...
What in the world is a naked store?
Ask Nick. you'll have to. Yeah. I want to.
Where were we?
Yeah. Exactly. Where were we? I need to thank everybody from Evil Avatar who was out there. They kept me company because you guys wouldn't show
yes,
up.
Yes. Thank you very much for keeping tabs on him.
Yeah. For babysitting me. No. It was great to have them along. We had a ton of fun. It really made the convention for me. Yeah, it was great seeing all these things, but if I didn't have some of those pictures you've seen and some of the pictures I've taken that we've taken, if I didn't have those, man, it wouldn't be near as interested in going back as I am.
Okay.
Although I'm still going back, but yeah, and I hope a lot more people show up from the site now too, and go with us because it'd be great to have out there. But we had a lot of people out there, a lot of people representing Evil Avatar. So thanks for doing that, and thanks for giving me a good time. nudge.
You're kind of a theme tonight. You've got a thing going tonight.
Of what?
Your all your dirty talk.
It's Gabe and Tycho. From what I understand, their first panel
3 days of penny arcade exposure and then a bunch of sleep deprivation. And this is what we get out of Psycho Boy.
Exactly.
That's great.
When he comes back, apparently from what I understand, it was nothing but sexual innuendo between the two of them on one of their panels. Panuels? No, from one of their panels. So. But yeah, still give us a call in and talk about, cause trust me, there's a lot of, let's go with the chat. Let's go with the chat room rundown real quick. Blackwing was not there. Bone was, Bone needs to call in and talk about his experience. Mike O'Hara wasn't there. Let's see. Tricky Thumbs. He was there and had a hard time getting in touch with him. Trey's in the chat room. Yeah, he's tricky. UW Crash was there. Call in. Tell us about your experience. Rogue Hunter, Kevin. Okay. You guys weren't there. Sean Blue, Agent Fox, Fate Fodder's in the chat room. Flinks is in there. Tyler Turd 84. Pixie Duck is in there. King Gorilla as well. Ani Akko. Oh, that's Coop. Coop was there. Coop needs to call in. He was the in that picture of all four of us. In fact, that goes. I was singing. Next to me was Bone. Nick was on drums, and Coop there was on. I don't know if he was playing bass or lead. I don't remember who was playing which part. Dr. Finger and the girl, Bone's wife, by the way, who works for Foundation 9, works on, she'll need to call in and remind me. Or she works for, no, it's Amaze. I'm sorry, it's Amaze, Amaze Entertainment, I believe, out of Texas. She's going to kill me when she hears that. She gave me a nice big whooping on Eye of Judgment, even though I didn't know how to play the game. She probably didn't know either, but I think she had more experience with card games than I did. But yeah, and I think there's video of that. I believe Eric, her husband, took. Or is it? Oh God, I'm so scared of names. I need to call them by their screen names. That way, it's easier. Bone is her husband, so it should have that video up there soon. What else do we have?
Well, what was the next thing? So we're talking about Eye of Judgment.
Okay.
You're pretty happy with that. We can't confirm that it's coming out for $60.
No, we can't. She said she would come on the show. There was a lot of people I talked to. I'm like, could you please come on the show and tell this again? Tell the same story again so that other people
can
hear.
I was kind of happy to hear that. I was kind of happy to hear that price point. If I had a PS3, I'm still looking for that break point where I've been saturated enough by information about good games to buy one. But if I had one, that's something that I would definitely pick up. It's creative, it's novel, decent price point for something that comes with a peripheral.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think you should get one.
And it looks really good. I mean, seriously, like whenever your characters would spawn, there was a thing there's a setting in the game where you can just kind of play with the characters. You stick a card under there. You hold a card in your hand, put it under the camera, it spawns the character. And then you can, like, you know.
Sort of waggle your finger around. And
yeah, tickle it and do whatever. Again, we're going back into parts I don't want to go into.
I've resigned myself to having to hear about this for the next 2.5 hours.
Exactly. You can turn your hand kind of, you can lean it a little bit to the left, and he kind of leans there. If you shake your hand around, he reacts in the sense of like, hey, dude, stop doing this. It's making me dizzy. So, you know, there's a lot of interaction with these characters and what they can do. And it really, to find something that can do the game for me, the card game type stuff, I was really interested in it.
Good.
I never thought I would be. What I was interested in was the fact that Hasbro has involvement with this. And I asked her, I said, hey, you know, Transformer card game would be kind of nice to have these guys pop up on the cards. That'd be really cool to see. And there's a lot of potential there. Lots of potential with what they can do with all of this stuff. So good stuff all around. Now, the next thing I did, Tricky Thumbs is on the line. I'll go ahead and put him on. Make sure he's on. Hey, Tricky, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Hey, you want to talk about your experience at PAX?
Oh, definitely. It sucked because I couldn't get a hold of you guys at all, but at least I had my crew to run around with, and we got to check out all the areas and the guys we normally do, because we've been there every year.
Oh, wow. This is my first.
Yeah, we were back there when it was in 04, when it was in the Meidenbauer Center, and they only had maybe a third of the Meidenbauer Center actually being used for the convention.
Yeah.
They had this small room that was maybe the size of one of the bathrooms. At the Washington State Convention Center, and that was the exhibition hall. It was this tiny room. they had like Conker and Forza and ooh, the Matrix Online was there and Doom 3.
And so, Fable, don't forget Fable.
Yeah, Fable was there, and they lied to us about Fable. We were pissed about that. We talked to the Fable guys, and they were like, "Oh yeah, there's all sorts of weapons and the games you can play forever, and it's great." And we're like, "Oh wow, cool." Yeah. At the time being, you know, maybe like 18, 19, so we were very gullible back then.
So how did you like the new setup here?
Oh, the Washington State Center is great. It's a lot better. I can tell, though, I mean, we all kind of agreed that it reminded us of the first year at the Meidenbauer, because you didn't see a lot of, like, advertising banners and, like, Penny Arcade banners and art everywhere like you used to at the Meidenbauer. Mm-hmm. And we kind of, I didn't get to talk to Koo, because usually if you can find Koo, he'll talk to you a little bit and get your opinion on the convention, but this year was so crazy.
Well, I saw a lot of banners, and I'm thinking maybe the same amount of banners were there, but this place was so big that they were more spread out.
That's what we pretty much came to the conclusion on. So, I mean, you know, and it felt weird. Like, it felt like, well, at the same time, the convention was definitely bigger because it was so much more spread out. It actually felt smaller to us, and like, in just like, from the perspective, like, whatever. The only room that felt massive, really, was the exhibition hall and the main theater. Like, when you're in there, I mean, the exhibition hall and the theater especially, like, that Will Wheaton keynote was just packed to the doors, basically.
Well, you know what? That whole area there, the exhibition hall and the main theater, are going to become one next year, I believe, which is what they're going to try and do. That's going to be the entire exhibition hall floor.
Yeah, that's what Tycho had mentioned, actually.
Yeah.
I had heard that. And that's what they actually ended up doing at the Meidenbauer. They ended up moving down to the bottom areas of the level one areas of Meidenbauer and putting half of that in this big hall as the exhibition and half as the main theater. So I kind of had a feeling they were just going to use that one whole area as exhibition, because, like, as much as I love seeing, like, EA Mythic was there again this year. It was their second year. The Pirates of the Burning guys, the Burning Sea guys, those guys, that was their third year. NCSoft's been there every year. But really, I'd seen a lot of that stuff. I mean, like, this was the first year they had Tabby the Rasa, which is weird because it's just about to come out anyhow.
Right.
The America's Army guys have always been there, and they always take up a bunch of space.
I don't know that it was necessarily weird because it was about to come out. I mean, Metroid Prime 3 was there.
I guess the strangest thing was that they've when City of Villains was on its way, but it was still quite a ways out. They had City of Villains there. I think it was the second year.
Dude, I don't know.
They never had Auto Assault there, but I guess that didn't really matter.
Apparently not. Maybe they knew ahead of time. But what was your what was the favorite thing for you?
Oh man, definitely the concerts are always a high point. I didn't get to go to the Frontalot concert this year, mainly because I was wiped after Saturday seeing every single booth I could. But I've seen them every year, so. But I did get to see, the 1UPs, Optimus Rhyme, and Freeze Pop. And Freeze Pop was just those guys were floored. I don't think they were expecting the craziness that crowd brings.
Yeah.
I mean, like, someone threw underwear on the stage, you know. Like, people were jumping up and down, and the floor was kind of like, you could feel the floor moving.
Men's underwear or women's underwear?
It was men's underwear. Because the lyric was throw your panties on the stage in the song, and someone threw boxers and it actually hit the singer. It was bad, but it was funny. It was good times. You know, of course, always the panels with Gabe and Tycho are always hilarious. Those guys always, you know, they bring the funny very well.
Yes, they do. Apparently from... Now, were you at the first panel?
Yeah, the one with all the sexual innuendo.
Well, that one and Uwe Boll.
Yeah, the Uwe Boll thing got really uncomfortable.
yes, it did.
I watched some video of that. That was that was interesting.
We were leaving just as the one girl came on the stage and started throwing all sorts of fun words at him.
Wasn't her underwear.
yeah, it wasn't underwear. There were other things.
Yeah, he came. From what I understand, I did not attend that one. I was at a different panel at the time. Something else was going on because I had planned to actually go to that panel. And I kind of thought nothing of it. I thought, okay, it's going to be a lot of people just asking him questions. That'll be some great stuff. Apparently not. No, they brought Uwe Boll out towards the end and pretty much turned the tide of everything that was going on there real quick. People were,
oh, man, yeah. Oh. Those guys, Gabe and Tycho, they fled the stage. I mean, if you saw it, they ran in the moment he came out.
It was pretty much everything you would think would happen with Uwe walking into something like this. If he were to walk up on stage at some event, especially something like PAX, walking up on stage, it got the same reaction that you would pretty much think. People walked out of the panel, they just walked out of there. And,
oh, wow.
You think he'd know better.
There is no way I'd miss the opportunity to watch.
We stayed for the trailer. He showed the postal trailer. We were just in the mindset of, okay, we're gonna see through as much of this as we can stomach. You know, it's like a train wreck. It's like it's a terrible, horrible thing to see, but you're staring at it. You can't look away.
Yeah.
And at one point, we just finally were like, after the trailer and the questions started coming in, we went, okay, this is way too awkward.
It really became one of those moments of like, were you there for this? You know, one of those things you'll look back and like, hey, were you there for the whatever, the Uwe Kane of 07,
right.
Whatever.
Yeah,
it is. Because that's really what it turned into. And when we talked with Gabe and Tycho at the press thing with them, they kind of said that they really didn't expect that reaction, and it kind of made them uncomfortable too.
I think they were expecting maybe a little too much out of their fan base for like, you know, hoping that they would be nice, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Again, wasn't there, but you know, heard a lot about it, and they were scared about that. They had actually, again, I've got this on tape. I don't know how good though, but they were actually tried to get Jack Thompson.
They're
not kidding. They tried to do that, and he would not cooperate. They wanted to. There were some rules set aside. Said, look, you can come here. We you know. Deliberately, we would love to have a debate with you with this. However, there's some rules that need to be attended to for this. So,
yeah.
But he wouldn't apparently agree to these rules or anything like this, and so he ended up not showing up. However, I was sitting there thinking during the time, I'm like, man, if you'd have just whipped out Jack on that crowd, that would have been probably worse. The thing that I think that they kind of realized was like, yeah, we don't really need to throw surprises this bad in front of people. I think we kind of... If we had let people know that Uwe was going to be there and said, hey, Uwe's coming to the show, if you guys want to, you know, it's a serious, ask him why he's doing what he's doing, that sort of thing. Don't give the reaction that you gave. I think it would have been a lot different had people known what they were about to get into. But just getting surprised like that was, that's like finding out she's not a she is what happens with that. You know what I'm saying?
Like, no, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know what you're saying.
Okay.
Unfortunately, the panel that they brought out after, the Q&A, the Penny Arcade question and the answer panel, the first one, the people who are in that panel, the people who are attending that, are definitely going to be some of the very, very core-based Penny Arcade readership. And those guys absolutely hate that person. I mean, yeah. You know, they weren't prepared for that, I don't think.
No, they weren't. Not at all. Well, hey, man, appreciate you calling in, and I'm glad you had a good time. Sorry I didn't catch up with you while you were there.
That's cool. There's always next year.
Who are you hanging out with? Anybody from Evil Avatar?
I ran into Ghost Bear for a while. We checked out the Mass Effect demo.
Yeah. How did you like that?
That was pretty cool. I only got to sit through, I'd say, like a little over half of it. And in all honesty, I wasn't playing the game, but I actually got pretty sucked into just the dialogue, like as if it were a movie. I was pretty satisfied with it, honestly. I mean, but that's what I enjoy out of those games is the dialogue and the exposition of the story. The gameplay, whatever it ends up being, you know, as long as it's more interesting than Jedi Empire, I'll probably forgive them.
Yeah.
And it looks that way. It definitely looks like it's not as like one button, second button, you know, for like Jedi Empire was basically.
Right. There was some interest there about the whole Jade Empire thing and you know any type of similarities as far as the interaction that you get and that sort of, but apparently it's a lot different and a lot better.
Yeah, I think they've made a really good choice with the radio menu, allowing you to control all three of your squad mates through one menu to make it kind of feel like you're controlling. It's kind of like, you know, Final Fantasy with your menu system right there on the screen. It's very much, you've got a lot going on, but at the same time you don't have to be doing that.
Right.
So I think that Mass Effect will be more so a much more well received game than Jedi Empire was.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying Jedi Empire was a great game, but I think Mass Effect is gonna do really well.
Well, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it, man.
Definitely, man. I will be listening.
All right, cool. We'll do contests coming up a little bit later on. So.
Oh, cool.
Maybe you'll win
call in for that.
Something. I don't know. We got tons of
we
stuff
got
to
stuff.
Give away.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, oh, real quick.
Yeah.
I should mention something. One of my friends, who's actually the original Meganaut, one of the original Meganauts first year.
Yeah.
He was there with us. He was one of the three guys to win the Bungie win everything at the store prize, basically.
Wow. That's
They're basically gonna mail him like every Bungie shirt, every Bungie item basically that they've got.
Nice.
Very nice.
Yeah, that should be interesting. I'll have to let you guys know what comes with that, because if he doesn't want any of that stuff, I might do a giveaway on Evil Avatar for some of it.
That would be great.
So,
yeah?
Quite excellent.
Thanks a bunch, man.
All right, guys. Yeah, later.
Bye-bye. There was a lot of giveaways going on there. NVIDIA was doing a giveaway of apparently something very worthwhile, because you would get in line, and they had a very long line, and they would give you a number. I think they would give you like two numbers, and then they give somebody else two numbers. And if you could match your numbers, you guys would win something. And there were people with signs walking all over the place with their numbers hanging on their chest, everything, you know, all just trying to connect those numbers. I don't exactly know what they were giving away, but it was worth making a sign to carry around with you trying to find matches for your number there. But who else was giving stuff away? There was swag all over the place, but there were also the contests, like I said. That guy won everything at the Bungie store. Bungie did not have a Halo display, but they did have the Bungie store display, which was like nothing but Halo stuff for sale, like shirts, mugs, you know, Halo hats, I don't know, whatever it was. There was just tons of stuff to give away, and apparently that guy won one of everything that they had, so congratulations to him. The Ubisoft folks had a... I'm going to mispronounce this, so you guys will have to help me. Is it Naruto?
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
You got it.
Okay. If your name was drawn, you would win your weight in ramen. I've got a picture. I don't know if... I think I uploaded it, but a picture of like boxes and boxes of ramen noodles. The stack was much higher than that. I took that picture on Sunday. Friday, that stack was a lot higher, because anytime you walked by the booth, they were giving out free packs of ramen noodles. By the end of the show on Sunday, though, people were walking out with boxes because they had to get rid of this stuff. So people were walking out with boxes of ramen noodles in their hands. I don't know how they were going to... My biggest problem, and I'll have to amend this next year, is I didn't prepare for bringing stuff back, like free stuff that they were giving out there. So I was turning down, like people were like, hey, you want a poster? I was like, well, no, because it's going to get all crushed and nastified in my suitcase because I don't have any room for it. So I'll have to fix that next year as well.
Well, knowing that, you know, your suitcase's whereabouts are... in serious question at the moment, maybe it's best that you didn't try to bring anything back.
I don't know where my luggage is at. It's kind of gone missing. Okay, let's go to the phones again, and we've got Chris, otherwise known as Christ, from Joystick. Hey, Chris, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I can hear you.
Hey, man, you're on Evil Avatar Radio. So, hey, thanks for calling in.
Hey, no problem.
How did you like everything going on down there, over there, wherever?
I guess it would be, well, over and up, I guess.
Well, for us, yeah, it would be.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was, I think it was a marked improvement from last year, not only in terms of, you know, the space, which is obviously a lot bigger, a lot more room, but in terms of the content, I think they had a lot more offerings. You know, I found myself, you know, with a lot more things to do to write about for Joystick, and I found that it was a lot more painful than it was last year.
Yeah.
You know, not being able to just sit down in a big beanbag chair and play DS.
Yeah, I got to do I got to do that for a little bit. Those sumos were nice. Do you own one of those sumos?
What's that? One of the beanbag chairs?
Yeah, the sumo things.
No, I don't. I don't think my girlfriend would consider that appropriate furniture, unfortunately.
I love those things. I'd never gotten a chance to try them, but man, they were all over. The handheld gaming area had nothing but sumos and like lining the walls for people to sit on. Those were nice.
It was like a harem of DS players.
Yeah,
like,
really. That's what it looked like.
On the floor, very bacchanalian, if you will.
Yeah. I was going to say, what did you get to cover yourself? What were some of the things that you got to cover? Because I know you had a bunch of other guys covering other panels as well, but
I spent a lot of my time doing interviews, so there were specific interviews that I really wanted to, you know, do myself.
Yeah. Who did you really want to talk to?
The Penny Arcade guys.
Right.
So that was the one thing, and that was the one interview I almost missed. As I raced off the bus from the plane up the street into the convention center, and I made it to that interview 3 minutes late, which is kind of a miracle in and of itself that I even made it. But I also interviewed the Telltale folks,
right.
Who we pretty much try and interview every single time we see them.
I was coming out of that, and you were going into it.
Yeah.
So
it was pretty much, we've interviewed them like 8 times now, and I feel like we've asked them the same questions over and over again, but I'm always interested in their projects, so
yeah, it's good stuff from them.
I spoke with Quentin Hawking after the Far Cry 2 demo.
Right, I forgot about that. You got to go to that. Wasn't on my list of things to do. How was that?
That's probably, I mean, as far as news goes, you know, hard news. That was really the only thing coming out of GDC at all, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, GDC Hot Packs.
Yeah,
my brain's fried. As you can
tell. I know the feeling.
It was the first official, at least North American, public demo of the game at all, and it was really impressive. You know, here's a spoiler alert. I'm sure folks will know sooner or later, so it's not much of a spoiler. But if you don't want to know, don't listen. They changed the setting from a tropical island, and they wanted something that would be exotic, something that would be kind of, you know, really beautiful and different. But tropical islands are played out. You know, you have Far Cry, all the Far Cry console ports, you have Crysis, you have Lost.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't kind of have that otherworldliness to it anymore, so they moved it to the African savannah, which is really kind of a neat setting. And they kind of tied it into a socio-political background where you play a guy who's trying to fight arms dealers and you have malaria. but it's an open world FPS, you know, something like, first thing I thought of was Stalker.
Oh, wow.
But coming out of Ubisoft, you know, Ubisoft isn't known to be a AAA PC developer.
Mm-hmm.
This game is not being developed for consoles. It's being developed for the PC by Ubisoft directly.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of their basic mandates was, make us a game that will kind of launch us, as Ubisoft, launch us into a role of developer-publisher in that hardcore PC gaming space that they're currently almost abdicating. Let's say EA in crisis right now. So, pretty interesting.
Did you have any free time while you were there?
Oh, not much.
Yeah.
I went out with a friend of mine who's a developer at Nintendo on Saturday night for a couple hours. But, you know, and like you, you know, well, a little more, but I'm on East Coast time, so the whole time I was 3 hours behind.
Mm-hmm.
By the time it was, you know, 11, 12 at night, I was dead.
Yeah, man, the sun goes down really late over there, doesn't it?
Yeah. And everybody's like, hey, let's go to these concerts. I'm like, I got a lot to write. It's like 3 in the morning for me right now. I gotta go to bed.
Yeah.
I didn't get nearly as much free time as I, last year. PAX was fun, but I covered it by myself, and I never really felt pressed for time. This year, I brought two other guys. We were all running around like crazy. I got a lot of stuff that I still managed to write up, and I had no free time. So, there was obviously a lot more content, a lot more going on.
It's only going to get bigger, apparently.
Yeah, and as a result, I felt a lot more, frustrated that I wasn't able to just throw my computer down and bust out the DS and curl up in a sumo bag and, get gaming.
Yeah, exactly. It was a lot of fun. It was great to meet you, by the way.
Likewise.
Well, thank you very much. What's next? You guys got anybody? What is XO7? Isn't that going on? Is it this week or next week?
I think it's this week. This week in
this
Toronto.
Back to back with this stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. We're not going to XO7 Canada. We were hoping that they'd have the full XO7 going on, but it's a more regionalized event. One of our writers is going from Xbox 360 Fanboy, but he's going as a Microsoft guest, so he won't be covering it for us because of that.
Speaking of Microsoft, how was it to be on that panel for the podcast and blogging thing?
It was fun. I did a similar panel last year, and this year was a little different. I think the industry's changed. I mean, last year, especially if you remember last summer, 3 months before, 4 months before the PlayStation 3 launch, Sony had almost made a daily habit out of putting their foot in their mouth. So when you got bloggers up on stage with, Microsoft talking about how different companies treat bloggers, it was kind of devolved into a, look at Sony, lol party. and that was good times, don't get me wrong, but in the last year, Sony, in the last 6 months, Sony's made a really concerted, really concentrated effort to change their tone and to change the way that they deal with blogs, and I think to some degree with media, game media in general. So it kind of really changed the nature of what we talked about on the panel. The panel was definitely fun. I never really get used to doing those sort of things. I feel a lot more comfortable talking to you here on the phone, on the radio, You sit in front of a room of people and they're all looking at you.
Yeah. It's best when it's... Yeah. Hey, did you get a chance to play Guitar Hero and sing in front of a bunch of people like I did?
Yeah, no, I don't do that kind of thing on purpose.
Yeah.
I usually just wait till the games come out. Or I have other writers. I can make them do it. Cruel, I admit, but...
Did you get a chance? What did you get a chance to actually play? I mean, you were all over the convention center, going to panels and speaking and interviews and everything else. Did you actually get a chance to play anything?
Yeah, I skipped almost everything. I played a lot of the stuff at E3, so I didn't feel really compelled. There were a couple things that I really did want to play, but I just didn't get around to it. I had other guys that had already checked it out, and there's no point in me wasting my time just to get a personal hands-on on it. I really did want to play Kane and Lynch, and I missed it. We should have a write-up of that from Colin going up later tonight.
Yeah, I got a chance to sit down. Me and Nick both got a chance to sit down and take a little play test with that. So
yeah, and I heard good things about it, and I've been really looking forward to just anything about it. It's been kind of off limits for a while. I did want to play Haze. Didn't get around to doing that. By the time I hit it, the line was crazy.
I didn't get a chance to play Haze, but I'll give props to those guys over there for having this very enthusiastic speaker for that thing. Did you get the spiel from that guy?
I had heard though that he was a little abrasive, maybe.
He was abrasive, enthusiastic, I'm not really sure, but by the time I got to him, he didn't have a voice, so he really couldn't give me the full effect of what he was doing, because he had ruined his voice for doing it for so long, but... Yeah, I got to talk to him, and then he asked me to play it, and I was like, well, I've got to go do this, but I'll come back and play it. I never did come back and actually play it, but I was interested in a lot of things that he told me. I was interested in seeing implemented.
How do you sleep at night? That guy was probably still there waiting for you.
He's like, dude, you got to go. I know, but there's this guy coming back to play the game, so I have to wait.
No, seriously, we're packing up. Ah, he said he'd be back. I'm really interested in Haze if for no other reason than Free Radical's doing it. It's dude in a cyber suit FPS. There's about 13 of them coming out this fall alone.
Right.
I mean, so NES has a cyber suit. You know, Gordon Freeman in Half-Life has a cyber suit. Master Chief in a cyber suit. The Crisis guy's in a cyber suit. Dark Sector's kind of got a cyber suit. Hayes has a cyber suit.
Wow.
There's more. I'm missing some. Ludwig's got them all in his head. He can rattle them off.
Time Shift has a cyber suit?
Yeah. Time Shift has a cyber suit.
Yeah,
if you don't have a cyber suit, kind of, I think, you're probably pretty screwed at the retail counter.
Metroid has a cyber suit?
Yeah, she has a cyber suit.
Yeah, we can keep going. These other ones are just popping into my head right now. Kane and Lynch don't have a cyber suit,
really,
but they do wear suits.
Games like Bioshock, they don't have cyber suits, but that's pretty, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, but he sticks this stuff in his arm and makes...
He does do that without thinking about it, which is...
Yeah, maybe I should put more thought into finding this needle and just sticking it in my arm, but it might help me get rid of this stuff.
I hope he didn't think about it, because if he thought about it and still did it, that would actually be worse, I think.
Good thing I really don't believe that we learn things from video games that way.
No, exactly.
I'd be walking around the streets of Philly picking up random needles jamming them in my wrist.
Only the ones that come out of vending machines.
Only the ones I actually pay for on the corner.
Right.
All right, man. Well, thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
We do appreciate it. Again, it was great to meet you out there, and hope to talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Yeah.
Get some rest. Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. All right, we got to take a quick break here because we haven't for 50 minutes or so. So it'll actually be a much longer break than a quick one, but we'll be back in a little bit with more Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV.
And welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio. Yeah, I didn't know you were bringing me back because we usually have music there.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, we didn't. Yeah, no, it's a very strange episode. Very, very strange.
I'm going into our second hour here on the 71st episode.
Yeah, 71.
First after PAX.
And I'm
bunch of PAX stuff today.
Again, just got off the plane. I haven't been at work for ever how many days. I'm back at work now. And so, yeah, my head's a little flighty. As is apparently the cold that I've caught. Will Wheaton called it Consars.
Consars?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a sickness you get when you're at a con. You go to a con. Of course, you put 40,000 people in a place, right. You're bound to spread some germage.
Well, compacted by the type of environment you usually have to travel on, you know, in a plane.
Yeah.
To get there, which always makes people sick.
Yeah, very much so. Hey, good. Let's go to the phones, because that's where the help comes in. Bone, you there?
Yeah, what's up, Scott?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, man.
I'm doing great.
I guess you got back okay and everything, huh?
Yeah, I had to get up around 7 this morning, so I'm feeling awesome.
Did you have a class? Did you have a class today?
I taught a class today and for the rest of the week.
You were like, weren't you preparing for that all weekend or something? No, you weren't. You were at PAX all weekend. Yeah, but anyway, hope that went well for you.
Yeah, it was totally cool. Man, it was awesome meeting you guys and everybody, people.
It really was. It was great. Bone called me. When I got to the hotel Thursday, I started calling all these people I had. We were trying to do an Evil Avatar meetup, and so I called all these people. And then the first person who responds is Bone. He calls me back, and he's like, hey, I've been here all day. We went to the pier and walked around Seattle. I was like, man, I really hated him for that because I didn't get a chance to do that. In fact, the entire time I was there, this is very interesting, I never once saw the Space Needle. Like, visually, I never saw it. I never looked out a window. I never saw the thing. No matter where we went, I never saw it.
That's why we came in early, man, because I knew I wouldn't see Seattle other than that.
And we didn't. I mean, we walked down to the pier and had some dinner one night, and that's as much of Seattle as I got to see. That and the homeless folk who would yell at you randomly. We had a nice
thing. I made a new friend.
We're walking down the street.
Possibly Jacob.
We're walking down the street, and this guy goes, hey, Mark, there's a big group of us. Not a one of us called Mark, but there's a big group of us that's called Mark. Now, you could go ahead and say that Bone's name is Mark because he's the one that responded to the guy. And thought he thought he'd strum up a conversation with this man as to why he chose the name Mark to yell into a group.
I was watching Trailer Park Boys, this Canadian show, and the guy uses a trick where he calls cops, or he's getting busted. He'll say, oh, you know Jim. And so he always finds a way to find someone the guy knows named Jim.
Right.
So I said to the bum, you know, I said, well, does that work for you? When you call someone Mark, does someone always respond? And that's when he kind of went ballistic on me. I don't think he was using Mark the way you just described, because then he called me Jacob. So I don't know what the deal was.
He did. He called him. He's like, Jacob, stop playing my instruments. I see you on the corner there playing my instruments. Stop playing my instruments on the corner. Yeah, it was just an interesting.
What if Evil Lab had my back, and by that I mean they were hiding while I.
They were hiding behind it.
Yeah, no. I was way down the street, and I stopped. I can't remember. I think I may have been with Goromon, Goron Man, or whatever. I was with him. And
I thought Goromon was the mark.
No. We're looking back, and we're like, "Oh crap! He decided to talk to him. Man, you don't talk to him. You just keep walking, man. You know that's it. You just keep walking."
You talk to them and challenge them. Back in their place, I guess. If they're going to attack me, I'm going to go back for them.
Yeah, so we walk back up there. It's kind of getting heated, and that's when I catch the, hey, don't play my instruments. And we kind of walk off back to the alternative place that we were headed to that we pretty much turned around from after that. But you know, it was great meeting you guys, and like I said, he called and said that they were hanging around. I was like, well, I'm going to go look at the convention center for a bit and then join up for a drink or something afterwards. And so finally got to meet him and met his wife, who is now on the phone with us. Hang on a second. Wait, didn't want to do that. Okay, wait. That's what I wanted to do right there. Wow, I hear beeps every time we go to a new caller.
It's their cyber suits.
Yeah, it's their cyber suits clicking in. It's their
comlink. Hey, how are
you?
Hello.
I'm fantastic. How are y'all doing?
Oh, we're doing good. You're on the phone with your husband.
That's
amazing because we're very far away.
Yeah, where are you at right now?
I am Seattle.
Right, have you made your trip?
No, we're going to be heading over there tomorrow.
Okay. Remember,
this is actually a business trip for me.
Yes, it is a business trip. Can I tell them where you're going?
Yeah, why not?
She's going to Nintendo.
Ah.
Oh.
She's going to their home office.
She's going to Nintendo.
She's going to Nintendo.
Don't hate me, it's work.
It's like a pilgrimage to Mecca.
But I sent my husband home first.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Which I'm sure he's the...
Okay, I'll just work.
Yes. How did you guys? Well, I mean, we all enjoyed PAX together, and you know, I can't do our gang sign. I can do it on the radio, but nobody sees it. So.
But we all know what you're doing,
right? That's
exactly. It's the three finger salute. Is what we'll call it. but yeah, so met with them, hung out with them, traded cards again. The card game trading was fun. That's the only kind of card game I like to play. It was like, here's my business card, now you give me yours. And collecting like a wad of those things. Anjanette, the girl who's on the phone, she beat me at Eye of Judgment we were playing. I told you about that earlier. Also,
and
I wanted
to correct you. I don't play card games.
Okay, I was wondering about that, but you seem to know a lot more than I did.
I'm a gamer.
That says more about you than her, I think.
Yeah, I think it does. I think it does say more about me. One of the things, and I'm glad you called in because I wanted to tell this story. One of the first things that we actually had some hands-on time with was America's Army.
Oh, okay.
So this guy, the guy standing at the booth, and he's like, "Hey, you should go in there. We've got a Humvee in there, all decked out with the guns, and they actually fire. Although I think he meant you pull the trigger and it recoils. They don't actually fire, but." You know, he said the guns work and everything. You should go in there and try it. And we've got a big screen there that you can play on. And I thought, oh my God, that sounds great! It's going to be a gun that actually recoils, all mounted and everything else. Let's go in there. So you have to go through to do this, and it's America's Army, so it's like recruitment. I had to give him my driver's license. They scan my driver's license in, which fills in all the things of like your address, your name, your height, your weight, everything. Scanned your picture in there too. They wanted so much information from you: your email address, your phone number. You know, and then, of course, at the end, they ask you, would you like us to, you know, send you recruitment information? I'm like, no. Or any information regarding the military whatsoever. I was like, no. And then they take you in there, and this guy, he was kind of excited for us to be there, wasn't he?
It was a little scary, actually.
We were his first, so either he was trying it out, or he's just kind of weird that way.
I hope he wasn't offended. I kept laughing at him.
He did the drill sergeant thing. Now, he was wearing... You know, he was wearing khakis and a polo, but he was doing the drill sergeant thing to us, saying, "You will not do this. You will fire your weapon," and all this other. It was coming off like Major Payne, if you've ever seen that. So, but yeah, he puts us in there. We play the game, and how did you like that?
I thought it was going to be a lot cooler than it actually was. I had shoulder pain for not as much fun.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was not near as fun as I thought it was. The calibration on the guns were like way off. It was horrible. So I kind of felt bad when I got the group to say, hey, let's go play this game. Because it sounds really cool. And then we get in there and I'm like, man, I just brought them in here to play this crap. Oh, jeez.
At least we didn't have to wait in line.
No, we didn't have to wait in line. We allowed other lines to form at games that would have been better to play. We should have gotten in line for Rock Band. We were kind of unaware at how cool that game would be with a group of us there until it actually happened. So, but anyway, how's everybody doing?
We're good. Don't forget to mention we almost lost an EVAP member this weekend.
Might be was with us, and we're crossing the street. I know this isn't really PAX related, but these are the memories that were really, really fun to have. Now, normally, for most people, when they see the hand that, you know, that usually symbols do not walk. That's like, stop, don't go any further. Might be kind of reverse on that.
Yeah, it doesn't mean like, yo, come here.
Yeah.
Or anything.
Yeah, it's not saying, hey, come on over, everything's fine, or anything like that. It's not waving at you. It says stop, don't go. He didn't obey that. He walked across. Red truck was coming down the road, and I saw it. And I'm thinking, oh, that's a good ways away. I could probably, you know, get a nice sprint. I don't really run. Just a little quick jog. Only when chased. And then even then, it's pathetic. To get across the street. So he's apparently reading my mind and tries to run across. I look again, and that truck has apparently hit some type of time window and jumped really far ahead. And actually has...
Right, it's called putting the pedal to the metal to try and get points.
He did. He increased the speed and it was oh man, it was close. It was really
close. I think he was trying to play Frogger.
It was Frogger, exactly what it was. However, I can tell you that after that, none of us crossed the street until we saw that guy walking that tells us he's supposed to cross the street. So, but yeah, that happened. There was a lot of other stuff happening, and I'm forgetting it. So, what else?
Have you talked about the Omegathon yet?
No, haven't talked about the Omegathon. How many you saw? The last round. Did you see any other rounds other than that?
I did not. I was working.
Okay.
I saw some of the high-pressure Jenga.
I only caught a little bit of that, but how many were in the round when you were watching?
There were eight, and I saw one guy take a dive. Oh. I thought the guys were intense.
Yeah, the first round, everybody was like on pins and needles with that. I was on a plane with one of the Omeganauts. He ended up being in the final four. He didn't make it to the final two to get to play Halo 3. However... And Jeanette on the phone had her little special guest pass.
We're not supposed to talk about that.
Why not?
Because no one needs to know how special I am.
Well, you got up to the front of the row for the got to sit in a chair.
Be so sorry for me.
Got to sit in a chair, and I got to stand up and watch three rounds of Halo. There were two rounds. There was best two out of three between the guys that were there, and then Gabe and Tycho went at it.
Which was fantastic.
It was very, everybody's pulling for Gabe. I'm pulling for Tycho just because he's the only one out of the two that's on my friends list. So I was like, yeah, Tycho, I want you to win. But Gabe pulled it out and won that round. And was,
did
and
you
was
notice their lack of game faces? No tongue sticking out or anything?
I'm sorry, I wasn't as close as you to see that kind of detail. I had to watch my action from the large screens that were on either side of the stage. So,
you know, he's lying. He was actually like, maybe 5 feet to the left of us.
With a bunch of other people in front of me, standing, I couldn't see what was on stage. They were sitting on sumo chairs. I couldn't see their faces. I couldn't see what they were doing. Now, when Tycho was standing and kind of moderating the match and giving the play-by-play, that I could see. But when they were sitting down there playing, I couldn't see anything.
Well, Joy took some pictures. I'll have her post them.
Yeah, you'll have to do that. You will. But thanks for calling in. And, well, Bone, are you still there?
I'm still here, man. Yeah. I got to say, the coolest thing, like, I got to echo what you said, is having a posse, having all the EVAV guys there. I wish we would have run into Kotaku.
Did anybody, if not, you should listen to the Major Nelson's podcast for this past week, just the panel that he moderated, because there was some Kotaku slamming going on at that panel by Major Nelson himself. They didn't show up. I think they were invited, but I don't think they showed up or something like that. I'm not sure of the history on that. So, but yeah. So, what was your game of show? The two of you.
I was getting into Frontline Fuel of War. I don't think anyone else was playing that.
I did not play that, and you said you wanted to do a write-up on that, right?
I'm going to. Like I said, I'm busy a lot this week. I'm going to try to make some time for it. But, you know, it was the guys who made Desert Combat are developing that.
How did you like it?
What's that?
How did you like it?
Well, it was cool. It was like playing Desert Combat, but it had more goal-based objectives. It was kind of like playing a single-player game like Half-Life 2, where you constantly feel like you're doing things. You're not just trying to... We weren't just capturing flags back and forth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was cool.
And, Jeanette, what was your game of show?
Well, you know I'm going to be a little bit biased here. I'm going to have to say WWE SmackDown versus Raw 8 on the DS. Come on.
Yeah, who makes that game?
Yeah, I don't know. Some little development studio in Austin, I think.
Yeah.
I think they're called Plug.
But seriously, aside from all that, I really enjoy it. There's no other DS game you can pick up and point to and say, yeah, it's like that, because it's not. We got rid of button mashing. It's really phenomenal.
I actually played a little bit of it.
Actually? Are you surprised?
Maybe. A buddy of mine, Dave, that was the only request he had when I asked. I said, is there anything you want me to look out for? He's like, look for wrestling games. And so that was the only one that was there, and I checked it out. The touchscreen has it's some interesting stuff.
Well, that DS had some lag issues, but you got the drift, right?
Yeah. I understood what was going on. It was, but I didn't play it enough to understand. So is there, like, no button mashing in this whatsoever?
Not at all. Are you utilizing the touchscreen exclusively?
What'd you say?
We're utilizing the touchscreen exclusively?
Yeah, okay. It kind of, I don't know
you
what...
You crackled out there
yeah,
for a minute.
Yeah, it cracked out for a bit.
I am in the bathtub. That could be it.
Oh, okay. There's a first for the show. yes.
She wants the toaster in the tub achievement.
The toaster in the tub.
Just puzzle questing.
Oh, that's right. See, they brought all the... Everybody, apparently I need to play Puzzle Quest, but... I decided that, you know, since it's coming out on Xbox Live Arcade, but that was a lot of what people were playing on the handheld floor. That and Metroid Prime, Metroid Prime Pinball.
Yeah, we were playing pinball during a lot of Frontal Lot set, because where we were, we really couldn't hear his words. His band was excellent, but he was kind of just blurring out.
So we just sat on the floor and played Metroid Prime. Yes, Metroid Prime Pinball. I keep wanting to screw that name up for some reason, but... and by the way, Jeremy...
That's so rare for you, by the way, screwing up names.
Yeah, I know. Thanks for letting me take your DS.
Oh, you're welcome.
I tried to get it signed. It did not happen. By the way, it's in my luggage that is now lost.
Oh. So not only did you not get it signed,
you
lost
earlier.
It.
Yeah.
That would have been so much more fun to know before him.
Yeah, I don't know where my luggage is. I hope it comes back because it does have your DS in it. And it's got a bunch of games in there that Slipstream brought from Belgium for the DS.
Yeah.
That I was going to hand off to you as well for... Because I failed at getting the autograph. I was like, man, I'll just give him a game as like a, you know...
Consolation prize.
A consolation prize, exactly.
So, Psycho, did you get Katie's phone number?
I didn't get Katie's phone number. Katie was our waitress at this bar that we hung out with. I've got her picture here, and I'll have to send it. But, you know, I know the name of the place. I can always call it and talk to her and be like, hey, we talked about you on the show, and give her the link to the show. So,
why I'm sure she'd really appreciate a stalker.
Yeah, she would.
A stalker?
Yeah,
Katie was responsible for the best catchphrase of the weekend. She came back to us and thought, she came back and said, did I hear you guys say turd hammock? And, but we kept it.
Yeah, we did. B.A. Penguin's supposed to do something with that name soon. He was supposed to do it a while back, but he hasn't done it yet, so, yeah, she came back. We've used it constantly. We've been throwing the signs around. We saw her. How many times did we go back and see her?
Three.
Yeah, it was three times or so. Yeah, we kept going back and saying hello to her. I gave her my extra pass, thinking maybe she'd come out to PAX, which she never did, which is fine. You know, I was too busy on Sunday to do really anything anyway, so it wouldn't have mattered. But yeah, I mean, seriously, you can always call the restaurant and talk to her if you really want to get in touch with her. Hello?
No comment.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know why you're thinking I want to do that, but you're more than welcome to.
Well, thank you. I'll let her know you said that.
Great. Now I got to call and defend myself. Oh. Anyway, thanks for calling in, and where are you headed after Nintendo?
Back to work, and then back to Austin to go back to work.
Where's... I thought Austin was work.
It is, but our home office is here in Kirkland, so that's where I'm at.
Gotcha, gotcha. All right, cool. What's do you want to plug anything coming out from you guys other than the SmackDown?
Let's look at that proud of. I'm sure there's plenty other good ones, but you know, if you pick up a DS game, there's chance to pick up one of ours anyway.
Well, that phone's really giving you some trouble. That bathtub's really giving you some trouble that you're in.
Sorry.
That's all right. Anyway,
well, thanks guys for being so rockin'. You guys were wonderful.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. Did you videotaped us on stage, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, that was fun times. That was some good stuff.
That's coming too. Probably tonight I'll get that up.
Yeah, you should. Cool. You should. Well, maybe you shouldn't.
Yes. No, you most certainly should.
Musk. Oh, man.
Yeah, I was singing. I don't want to be. Yeah.
Front page.
Yeah, front page, exactly. Thanks a bunch for calling in. It was really great meeting the both of you.
You too, man.
We've got to do this again sometime. Preferably around a con situation, because otherwise we just need a bunch of sumos that we can sit on.
Well, GDC's in a week.
Wait, man.
Huh?
I said, if you ever come out this way, you guys are welcome. I think we might actually host Slipstream if he comes back to America next time.
That, you know what? I talked to him after you guys left. That was his first trip to the States. Slipstream is from Belgium. He flew all the way from Belgium to go to PAX. From what they said, he spent more time in the air traveling to PAX than he actually did at PAX. Yeah.
That dude's committed.
Yeah, that's dedication.
That is dedication, but and he's the one who gave me the DS games and the PSP game that he gave me. So, yeah, that was his first trip, and very very interesting for him, I believe, being over here. But he dude had great English. I mean, his English was spectacular compared to most Belgians I've met, which is none.
And Jeanette, what other languages you said he spoke?
He may correct me, but I believe he's been learning French since second grade, English since high school, and Dutch and German, of course.
That's a lot of languages for that kid. It looks like he's only like 16 or so. He's actually 22. He was getting carded wherever we went. Him and Random look the same way too. Which is he in the chat room right now?
He's on the train.
Oh, that's right. He took the train. That's four days.
Back in 2 days.
4 days of train travel.
No, I thought that was Goron.
No, it's both of them.
Both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, here I am complaining about, you know, riding in a plane for all day long, but here they are on a train for four long days.
But they chose to do that.
Well, I chose to be on a plane. I didn't choose to lose my luggage, though, I can tell you that. They've got their luggage right there with them. But yeah, now I don't have any clothes. Yeah,
you wouldn't want to be in the studio with Psycho right now. It's very uncomfortable.
I can tell you one thing. One of the things that a lot of people I read about saying was like, hey, bring deodorant when you come to this thing.
Yes, you had it with you the whole time.
Never had to use it.
I don't think you should be announcing that.
Seriously, it was like one of those things where I was like, okay, where's this foul stench and stuff that's supposed to be coming out of these things? And there wasn't. I think because they moved to a bigger place. People's experience was in this small place where you stick, you know, 20,000 people into this really small place. They got a much bigger place than that with these 40,000, and it wasn't that bad.
There were a lot of women there.
There was a lot. I guess maybe more than I expected.
We're kind of surprised because a lot of the T-shirts at a lot of the shops, you know, they said things like, well, they had two dice with natural 20s, and they said, yes, they're natural. That was one of the few actual girl shirts, but they would have all these girl slogans on XXX-sized guy shirts. I don't want to read about man boobs, you know? It's like, I don't know what they were thinking.
Yeah, so if anyone out there makes shirts who's listening, please make women's sizes. We actually do game as well.
Yes. And she's very good at Eye of Judgment on her first try, so...
Easy because I was playing against you.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's
and don't ever play against Psycho Boy in pinball.
That's exactly right on that one.
Metroid, even digital pinball.
Yeah, I leaned over. We were playing. It's one of those download and plays where you don't actually have to have the game. You can just play one of the rounds. And I leaned over and I was like, all right, I get the pinball aspect, but what else is there? Because it's Metroid pinball. I'm thinking there's got to be some more to it. He's like, well, you can lay bombs to get rid of the Metroids. And I was like, all right. And then I was winning like round 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, just back to back to back. I was like, man, it's pinball. Once you get that out of the way,
mm-hmm.
that's all I need. And God, I love pinball. It's good fun. But anyway, thanks for calling in, you guys. I appreciate it, and it was wonderful to meet you, the both of you and everyone else. So hopefully you guys will keep in touch, and maybe we'll have Katie back.
Sounds like a plan.
Exactly.
Hey, Coop needs to call in. Thanks a lot, Scott.
Coop needs to call in, and Nick needs to call in. Random's on a train, but everybody else who we were out there with needs to call in and talk about their experience on the show here. So, thanks a lot, guys. Have a good night.
Bye. You too.
Bye bye. I think I just got rid of both of them there. Yeah. Okay. Cool. What else did you guys were interested in that I got to see? I'm trying to go over some of the things I got to see. I had to play Rockstar Table Tennis on the Wii.
How was that?
I played it on 360. It's, you know, motion controls. It's Wii Tennis, but better looking, you know?
Was it that straightforward? Was it flick of the wrist type of stuff, or was there anything more interesting about having the Wiimote?
Not really. It was still flick of the wrist. You use the D-pad to control, you know, the spin that you wanted to put on it.
Nah, you're bringing me down.
I'm sorry. You didn't attend. I would have. You know, you could have covered that. However, I did get to see, and this is, I know this isn't up some of you guys' alley, but I got to see Midnight Club Los Angeles, which is the new Midnight Club game.
Mm-hmm.
The guys at Rockstar were there. Had a really cool booth, and they were showing that off. And there was some, hey, good. That's exactly what I want to talk to you about this. Hey, Nick, you're on the air.
Howdy, howdy.
Hey, man, I was just talking about our experience with Midnight Club.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't go into the little secret stuff that happened at the end there, which, you know, we're more than welcome to do, but I was just starting to talk about that. I was really impressed with it. Were you?
Yeah, actually, I was surprised because that's usually not really my type of game, but what they showed off with the whole new camera thing and all that stuff looked pretty neat.
It's a very... The camera situation, seriously, because there was no burnout there, this was my chance to be like, well, you're the next best thing, which they kind of were. They've got some crash physics in there. The guy specifically said, you know, we're not burnout. They can do that. But some of the camera situations, like whenever you took a hard turn, the camera would go all dynamic and move from behind the side of the car and then get really close to like the side of it. So you had this really cinematic view as you're turning. It wasn't like a cutscene, but it was just as you're turning. What else did it? Turbo did it the same thing too, right?
When you get kind of like it dropped down to like the side of the car and behind the driver. And I think maybe like that elongated view of things.
Yeah, it was really impressive, and I look forward to it. I've played all the Midnight Club games so far. I really enjoyed the previous because it had Atlanta as one of the tracks in there, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, plus it looked gorgeous. It was L.A. and the guy said that they recreated like a whole big part of the city, cutting out the boring parts.
Yeah, he said that that L.A. is as big as all three cities that were in the previous game, just, you know, combined. So it's like if you took all three cities, put them all together, and then just didn't have any type of boundaries for them to, you know.
And then the best part about it was the game crashed.
Yeah, this was the best part.
And the dev kit rebooted, and at the main menu screen there was the GTA 4 beta. And we're like, we want to see that.
I think these guys were prepared to show Manhunt 2 and GTA 4, as well as the table tennis and Midnight Club. I think they were prepared to show all four of those games. However, I think some last-minute thing, because he told us, he said, yeah, this is an all-ages show, so we can't, for whatever reason, they didn't want to show that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you played Dark Sector, which was on the show floor.
Yeah.
That was incredibly brutal. I mean, limbs were, you know, getting lopped off, and it was bloodier. It looked like Gears of War, but it was bloodier than Gears of War.
And so, but yeah, but apparently GTA 4, well, you know what, GTA 4 and Manhunt 2, would be the...
Yeah, a little extreme.
Yeah, it's in the sense of these, no news coverage is on Dark Sector. They're not looking at Dark Sector saying, oh, there's blood and guts and gore and stuff. They're looking at those big names, especially coming from Rockstar, who've already...
I want to know what the heck happened to Dark Sector, though, because I remember that was one of, like, the first games that had the next-gen... It was next-gen game video, Dark Sector, and it was, like, a space station and, like, some guy walking and, like... And then the game is, like... Like I said, it looks like Gears of War, and it's, like, this skinny guy in a suit, and he has, like, some crazy...
It's a cyber
thing
suit.
It is a cyber.
It better be.
How else is it going to sell?
but it just, you know, it was not anything like what that video was like however long ago that was, 3 years.
It was a while back when you saw that, because it's like first next-gen game coming in 2008, I think, is what they said on the thing. I thought, my God, I'm seeing this. That's how long you're waiting for this? The whole atmosphere of that trailer that we saw, ever how many years ago or whatever it was, completely gone in the game.
Yeah.
There was none of that atmosphere in there about being on a space station. I think there was some stealth involved in the thing, but in the actual gameplay, no stealth. You were out there running and gunning.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else? How did you like playing the drums?
It was good. Like, I felt like I was playing drums, and I liked, like, the transitions you do on the drums, you know, hitting two at once and kind of working across and then coming back in with the kick pedal and stuff. But I think maybe I'm doing the kick pedal wrong, because I'm not kicking. I was bending at the ankle, basically, you know, and by the end of the song, I think half was killing me. It was like doing exercises, so I have to reevaluate how I play the kick drum there. But it was fun. It felt like playing the drums. It seemed pretty accurate to me, like the timing and stuff. But I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed our stage presence, our concert. We rocked that hall.
Wasn't it great?
We melted faces, indeed.
I mean, it was just I don't know. My voice can't melt faces, but. Okay. Hey, let's bring Ghost. Hang on. Let's bring Ghost Bear in. He's on, I believe, line two. Hey, Ghost Bear, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, were you one of the groupies?
I was a groupie. I took most of the photos that are up on the website now.
And what did you think of our performance?
I wanted to throw my underwear at you guys. But I felt that would be a little inappropriate.
In front of all those people? Probably so.
Well, you know, it would take him too long, too. did you talk about how you have the inability to eat in the sunlight?
I do. Another one of these stories that doesn't relate to, you know, PAX itself, but we went to the pier to have some dinner Saturday night, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And half of us are sitting at a table that is in no direct sunlight, and the other half are sitting there, the sun setting. And, man, it got to a point where it was just right in my face, and I could not eat because I'm sitting here trying to eat, and the sun is just right there. I couldn't. It was blinding coming off the water out there. And so I got up, and I just started standing in the corner where the dark was and started eating my fries and my fish and whatever else. And Ghost Bear here got up and moved to another table.
Well, you missed the second half of the story. So then you said, you go try and eat in the sun. So Ghost Bear gets up, and he takes a piece of his sandwich and sits down in the sun, starts to eat it, and proceeds to bite his tongue.
I bit the looking crud out of it, too.
So
there's photographic evidence of blood.
Yeah, he couldn't, I'm telling you, he couldn't eat in the sun. I feared for my safety, so I sat in the dark and ate my food. But yeah, it was blinding there. And there's also the... apparently the fat guy spilled stuff on his shirt theory type thing, where if fat guy's around, he's gonna spill food on his shirt, because that was me.
Well, yeah, and there were also no pictures of me pretty much where I'm not eating something.
Yeah, and the fat guy's always eating whenever you take a picture of him. Because I took a picture of Ghost Bear, he had food in his mouth, somebody else took another picture, he was eating. It became the running gag, where it's like, wait, we can't take a picture unless he's got food in his mouth. We're all sitting there ready for a pose, and it's like, wait. And he puts something in his mouth. All right, ready to go.
Yeah, here's the peppermint. Go.
But, so what did you enjoy about PAX as far as, like, gaming-wise goes?
Well, you know, I was really excited about Warhammer Online.
That you were,
I got into the beta, so I'm pretty happy about that.
That was a raffle, right?
Yeah, it was. They gave away about, like, 50 of them, so that was pretty cool. And that's about all I can say about the beta.
Oh, really?
That I'm in it, yeah.
Okay, because of the NDA?
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's fun talking to you about Warhammer.
For breaking the NDA, they get in.
What?
So that's a good way to keep people honest.
Say again now?
If, someone rats on me saying I was breaking the NDA, they'll get in to the beta.
Ah.
So they reward rats, huh?
Pretty much.
All right. Well, that's fine. But you haven't told us anything but other than being in the beta. And
well, you know, and I did, after you guys played Rock Band, I went back and played. And not having played Guitar Hero 1 or 2, I found that I really enjoyed Rock Band, and I'm probably going to pick it up. So,
what are you going to play?
I'm actually probably going to sing. So.
Ah. Are you?
Sorry? I am.
Why?
Well, because my fingers don't work with the rhythm so good.
Fat guy fingers?
Well, yeah.
I know the feeling.
Maybe I could do the drums. Who knows?
Fat guy drums ain't much. Is it any better? What with the stomach in the way?
Holding the poking stick.
Exactly. You can't eat while you sing.
Yeah. Well, hopefully there'll be no cameras, so I'll be all right.
Yeah, there was somebody from the Seattle Times who was taking pictures of us. I know. Apparently, the pictures didn't make it into the paper though. So it's a little bit bittersweet.
I was checking too.
I know. Yeah, I was looking for it, but it wasn't there. But hey, Ghost Bear, thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Now I press this button and he'll go away, right? Yes, he did. But then when I press this button, Coop comes on the line. Hey, Coop.
How's it going, Scott?
It's going pretty good. How was, you know, you guys had a plane delay, right?
It wasn't a plane delay. It was a travesty.
What time did you guys get into the airport?
2:30? 2:10, but by the time we got our bags and got on the train.
I was going to say, what time did you actually get home?
Me? Like 5. It was close to 5.
Yeah.
And did you guys have to go to work today?
I didn't. I called off.
Yeah, I did. I managed to squeeze in about 3 hours of sleep, and then I got up and left.
So for anybody listening, Nick, B.A. Penguin, he was on drums. What were you playing when we were up there doing our... Were you bass or lead?
I was lead, but I failed quickly when I was playing. There's a lag issue because they had the monitors split to 3 monitors, so we could see what we were playing, and then people could see what we were playing behind us. So there was a total of 3 monitors, and they didn't recalibrate the instruments for the lag. Because I talked to the developer about it, because I play a lot of Guitar Hero 2, and there was an HD lag. I had experience playing over Bap's house, and I experienced the same thing here. When I talked to the developer, he said, "Yeah, they do have lag issues because of using the splitters." And everything like that. So, but I at least got to hold the controller in my hand and push the pretty colored buttons.
Yeah, and be adored by groupies on the floor.
Hey, that was great. Everybody was, who are those guys?
Yeah, exactly. Why are they getting so much attention? Who are those people? They're wearing Evil Avatar shirts. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, you can't. Free publicity.
Oh, exactly. What was your, was Rock Band your favorite out there on the show?
Actually, my favorite was Castle Crashers.
Yeah. They had the figures on sale out there, and him and Nick both picked up all 4 figures from Castle Crashers.
I got to play a decent amount of it, and it was pretty good.
Did you play any other level than what was primarily what we got to play?
I played, I think, 2 of the levels. One was like a boss battle, and the other was an actual side scroll level. It involved a chase and a lot of button mashing. Side-scroll fighter.
It is. It's button mashing, but it's still a lot of fun, and I can't wait for it when it comes out in November, December of this year. It's still a long way to go for it, though, for me. There was something else I was going to ask you. Nick, what was yours? Was it Castle Crashers as well?
I think so. Though I agree with Bone with, what do you call it?
Frontline?
Yeah, Frontline Fields of War was pretty cool. It still needed some polish and whatnot, but that was fun. I really enjoyed Kanan Lynch as well.
I wanted to talk about that, Kanan Lynch. We got to sit down with get some playtime in with Kanan Lynch. I was a little bit skeptic of it watching it because I looked at it. It reminded me of the Namco arcade shooters. Where you duck behind to get ammo and that sort of thing. Not that gameplay style, but just the look of the thing reminded me of the Namco stuff. But then I got a chance to sit down there and play it, and it was actually a lot better. It was a lot better than the Namco stuff. But But we were talking with them, and of course, again, it's going to be released in November, December of this year. It's got a good ways away. One of the interesting questions the guy asked us, though, was special editions, right?
Yeah, that was cool. He was like, we were talking about the BioShock special edition and whatnot, and you were saying how you've been spending lots of money on special editions and that you really want it. And he was like, well, should we do a special edition for Kane and Lynch? We're like, well, yeah. And, we started throwing around some ideas with them of different things to do. So, hopefully they snap up one of them and put it together.
Yeah, I hope they do. I know they were talking about some special packaging for the game, and packaging is all cool. But,
Well, it only goes so far. I mean, it's nice to have something that absolutely stands out, like on a table, a desk, or a shelf or something. I mean, figures are a really great thing to have, yeah. I think.
And that's actually exactly what we talked about.
Because art books are fun, packaging is fun, but that's just going to get wedged into a line of other books or a line of other packaging somewhere. Like, I really like something that's unique to that edition and, like, totally stands out and is easy to point to and recognize for what it is. I mean, Big Daddy being the perfect example.
Yeah, definitely. That's exactly what I conveyed to him. I put my Big Daddy on a shelf. Somebody walks in and sees this weird underwater guy with a drill on his arm. Hey, what's that? And then I say, well, glad you asked. Have a seat. Let me show you.
Yeah.
you get to actually show them those kind of things. It's exactly the same thing that happens when anybody walks in and sees a guitar, a little toy-looking guitar sitting on the floor. What's that? Well, glad you asked. Sit down. Let me show you.
Well, it's a good tangible, it's like a tangible touchstone to, something that's, inherently intangible, the experience.
Yeah.
So it's a nice thing to have. I mean, I'd love to see some kind of Kane and Lynch, dual figure diorama-ish type of little thing come with a special
like
edition.
That's exactly what we said, too. And I guess he said that there's actually I can't remember the exact word he used, but that they're having this scene of Kane holding Lynch or Lynch vice versa, kind of like by like the collar and these looks on their face and stuff. They said, it's going to be used in marketing, and he thought it would be real cool to have kind of, a statue of that
to go
along with it.
And so it's really cool when they start to listen to these things, and hopefully they do something with it. Coop, were you the one that got to play Time Shift?
Yes.
How did you like a little bit of that?
It was, I wouldn't say it's disappointing. When I saw the new trailer, when they had redone it, it looked a lot better. It looked like you could really get into a lot of the time shifting elements of the game. And they seem to pull it off a little bit better than I've seen it used in the past. I really didn't get... I'd have to spend a lot more with the game. It seemed like some of the time elements were disabled because you have to earn them, I guess.
Yeah.
I was able to use the pause feature, but I wasn't able to use the fast forward and rewind. I really wanted to see how those worked.
Yeah, I didn't get to use that. I got to use the slow-mo feature.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a pause feature, a slow-mo feature, and that... But it was, I think it's still got a lot of potential. I'm really looking for a more polished version before I, kind of cast my verdict on it. Because it's something I've been waiting for, almost 2 years now.
Yeah. The one thing that I noticed was that there was a lot of rain in that game, which was kind of neat to see that, they had the rain effects going on. And as soon as you slowed down time, the droplets of water kind of froze and started going a little bit slower. And you're, one of those neat little things that they added in there that kind of goes along with the gameplay and goes along with, it kind of immerses you even further into like, okay, I'm really controlling these time effects. Not just slowing down the action, but actually slowing down the scenery, basically.
What booth was that at? Did you see this Time Shift?
It was at the same one that had the Geometry Wars demos.
Okay, that was Sierra then.
Yeah, it was Sierra's thing, because there was the Fear, I don't think it was the sequel that they had on display.
No, it was the console version of the something or other.
I think of the expansion or something. I'm not sure what it was, but yeah, they had Fear on display, and they had Time Shift as well as the Geometry. You played a little bit of the Geometry Wars for the Wii, right?
Yeah, I was very disappointed. The controls are just, I don't want to say complicated, it just doesn't feel right. It makes it slows the game down, actually.
Yeah.
by having to use a little pointer thing. And, yeah, I was pretty disappointed with that. And I didn't really see anything all too different with that, because that's supposed to be the one that's level-based, which I'm not really sure how well that's even going to play off. But I did notice that, like, some of the maps were shaped differently. Like, one of them was like an octagon,
yeah,
rather than just the square board and stuff. But
I wasn't too interested in that, because, I mean, I played it on the 360, you know. You know, that's a frustrating game for me. It gives me headaches when I play it. So, you know, my interest of it being on the Wii is not, you know, not really peaked, I guess you could say, for any type of playtime with that. One of the things that you guys got to play Metroid Prime 3, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it comes out, isn't it, this week?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, it comes out tomorrow. So, what did you think?
I mean, I'm not a fan of the previous two games, actually. I found that it was like, it was a game that tried to be a first-person shooter and tried to be an adventure game and didn't do either of them well. But with the third one, with the controls, it feels like a first-person shooter. It's a lot more natural. And, you know, it looks pretty decent for, you know, for a game that's on an HD. It's a pretty clean-looking game. It's got good colors and everything, and yeah, it was fun.
You know, I know you're a Halo fan, Nick, and I felt kind I felt kind of bad when I was sitting there at the Omegathon finals and starting to hear that theme pop in for the final game.
Yeah, I need to get off the phone here. I'm probably going to download some of the game trailer video, the presentation, just to check that out.
Hey, let me ask you a quick question. Are you bound by an NDA since you got into the Call of Duty 4 multiplayer beta?
No, I believe it expired the 24th, so I can probably talk about it. I actually have my computer in front of me, so let me look at it.
From what before you say anything.
I don't think I am anymore.
Okay,
I was, but I'm pretty sure it expired.
Well, he really likes it, I can tell you that.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah, Friday, August 24th at 9 a.m. it lists. So, yeah.
How do you like
it? NDA. Oh, it's fun. I was actually playing it tonight with a few EVAP members that we usually play Shadowrun together, and we played a smaller game. It's called Tactical, is the setup, and it was 3v3, so it was a little slower paced than the run and gun of the team deathmatch or the domination modes and stuff. And it's really cool because, you know how typically in multiplayer games, especially first-person shooter multiplayer games, you know, there might be different classes, but they're pretty much the same character in each class, in that, like, if you're an engineer, you always have the shotgun and the dynamite and this and that, and if you're the sniper, you have the sniper rifle and, you know, the silenced pistol and whatever. Well, what Call of Duty 4 does is, as you level up your character, you actually get promoted for killing guys and for winning rounds and whatnot. As you level up your character, you can start to create custom classes. And so the first thing you can do is choose your different weapon loadouts. So you can basically pick a class. You can, you know, pick from different assault rifles, different submachine guns, whatever. So you add your primary weapon, your secondary weapon, your grenade types, and then have three special slots to fill. And in those special slots, you have abilities like a health bonus, a stronger aim, like a steadier aim. There's also cool things like, it's called Last Stand. You know, what happens is when you die, your body lays on the ground and you pull out a pistol and you have a chance to shoot a guy that just killed you unless he puts another bullet into you.
Wait, now what?
So there's things like that.
Wait a second. Go back and explain that again. What happens?
What happens is the special ability you can give to yourself is called Last Stand.
Right.
And so when someone kills you, you don't die. You lay down on the ground and pull out your pistol and can lay there and shoot for maybe 10 seconds.
I got you.
And try and take out the guy that just killed you before you actually die.
No, I got you. I understand that now. I thought when you explained that, I thought your character, you run around as a ghost or something, and you're shooting guys with a pistol. You get like extra 10 seconds of like frag time or something. I don't know.
But above and beyond all that, what I just described to you, then as you get even more experienced, Then you can customize your character even further by customizing the weapons. You can pick an assault rifle, and then you can put lasers on it, or you can put a grenade launcher on it, or you can, you know, add some grenades to it. There's an insane amount of customization. So, you know, you don't have 20 engineers running around a map, or 20 of this character, and it really adds, you know, a strategy element to it, and a good variety to the matches.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying that, and I kind of hate you for it. So, but yeah, enjoy it while it's there. I'd really like to be in that beta with you, though.
Well, did you try and get in? I mean,
No. You know what? I didn't try. I actually was completely confused on that. I thought it was going to be kind of like Halo 3, where it's like, you know, it's there to download. Everybody can play it if they want to. I did not know that there was a selection process for it, and I found out way too late that there was a selection process for it. So.
In the chat room, and some people actually had questions, if I can answer them.
No, yeah, what are some of them?
Agent Fox is asking if it's better than Battlefield 2, and is it multiplayer only or single player? And the beta is multiplayer only, but the full game obviously has a strong single player campaign. And is it better than Battlefield 2? Yeah, I think it kind of is, in that there's a more variety of game types in it. There's kind of a traditional Battlefield type thing, but there's no vehicles. You can do cool things though, like the other aspect that I totally forgot about is outside. So what I described before was like outside, you earn experience points and you can level up your character and you can level up your weapons and stuff. But also per match, you earn special things. So like if you get a 3-kill killing streak, you can bring in a UAV and bring up the radar for your entire team to see where enemies are. You get a 5-kill killing streak, you can bring in an attack helicopter. And the helicopter will circle and try and take out enemies for you.
So it's got a nice little reward system then for it.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Like, it gets up to even the point. I think the one you get, you can bring in an airstrike, and it brings up an overhead map, and you can pick where to actually do, like, some carpet bombing to take out guys. And there's a lot of variety there, and I think it's a kind of multiplayer game that won't go stale. Quickly. It's going to have some longevity to it.
I'm looking forward to it when it comes out in November, December of this year, along with everything else apparently in the gaming world. So, but had a lot of fun with you guys out there, and it was weird. You kind of wrote this in the post, but I kind of want to say it was great meeting you. But it was, you know, it wasn't really like I was just meeting you. You know,
right? Yeah. I mean, it
wasn't one of those feelings.
I said to Coop before we left, it was like, it's very rare that you can go to a completely different city, meet a bunch of strangers, and get along so well, you know, and hang out constantly, go to dinner every night, and, you know, we constantly had conversations and stuff. It wasn't like there's any dead air ever, or, you know, it's like we knew each other for a long time. So it was great, definitely. And it's sad to think that hopefully we don't have to wait another year till we get to do that, you know. Maybe something comes up, I don't know.
I'd say we have an Avatar convention in Nick's backyard.
with the huge rock band set up, that would be great.
There you go.
Well, thanks for calling in, guys.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
All right, bye-bye.
Let's jump over now to line two real quick. Mike, are you there?
Yes.
I'm right, sorry to keep you waiting,
hey.
Buddy. What's
hey,
up?
Mike.
Hey, what's going on? How was PAX?
PAX was good, man. It was my first PAX. It was kind of overwhelmed by everything. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I had come back in from doing some shopping, and basically came in and heard about Mike being almost hit by a car.
Yeah, he might have not been, actually, if he was a little bit slower. His name would have been changed, and yeah, and I don't know, we'd have still gone to PAX, but we'd have felt bad. Yeah. So how's everything going with you?
I felt bad for that poor DS that got lost, too.
Man, yeah.
I'm sorry. Well, it's not lost. It's coming back.
No, maybe. It's lost.
It's, at the moment, it's lost.
You lost your luggage. The DS was in your luggage. The DS is lost.
It's lost. Okay, so...
And unsigned.
Yes, and it's unsigned. Sorry about that as
good
well.
Good job.
Makes me a
You're a fine steward of
Jeremy.
His property over the weekend.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
I had noticed that Sierra and Maskate had a world in conflict. Both at PAX. I was wondering if you or anyone that went.
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I'd forgotten to ask you about that.
They had a World in Conflict launch party. Actually, they didn't have. Did they have a booth? I don't think they had a booth out there. I think it was playing on something, but it wasn't. It wasn't the World in Conflict folks who were presenting it. I don't think. But they did do the launch party. I went out there and, you know, met a few people out there and watched the gameplay for a bit. They had this nice little ice bar set up, which was very cool. And I've taken pictures of it. So if you go to the PAX picture post page or whatever it is over there, then you can check out those pictures of the ice bar setup and everything else. I did not get a chance to play it, but I know you've been playing it in the beta, right?
Yeah, I played the beta. I've got the demo installed, but it's not going to get played, and I'll tell you why.
Well, can you tell us why when we come back?
Sure.
We've got to take a top of the hour break, and we'll come back. More Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV.
And welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio on WACV 1170, where I think after where we left at the end of the last hour with Mike O'Hara on the line talking to us about working. Good job, Scott.
That wasn't me, man. I put him on hold. I think he just called right back.
Well, hopefully he's working his way back onto the phone line.
Okay, there he is. Here we go.
You there, Mike?
Yes.
That was totally Jacob's fault. Nobody knows what Jacob is.
Okay.
That's what the homeless guy was calling us.
Like, hey,
that was Jacob's fault. Jacob or Mark, whoever he decided. But yeah, okay, tell us about the World in Conflict beta that you were in.
Well, I had a lot of fun playing it. I played it for about 3 weeks. And basically, the air part of the units were very overpowered. That was something I did not look forward to. If you're, you know, your armor, you have your artillery and your anti-air, you would have people constantly pumping out attack helicopters. There's no tomorrow. Now I will say this, I have not played the demo. And here's why. I picked up the limited edition of Bioshock today.
Yeah.
And I...
Was he broken?
No, he was not broken.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Although I have thought about breaking him just for the sake of
I thought about the same thing yesterday. I was sitting at my computer looking at his arm, and I'm like, man, I could break that drill off and get me an art book.
They had a big display unit, or the big display Big Daddy at PAX.
I saw a picture of that.
His arm broke. little tip of the tip of the drill broke off. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Then you come back the next day and he's got velvet ropes around him and a sign says please do not touch. You know, apparently for being very fragile, those guys are actually tough to kill in the game, from what I hear.
I don't know. Shoot him with a fireball, then some electric buckshot. Nothing to it.
Yeah. Well. But yeah, go ahead. You picked up the special edition.
Sitting here, I haven't installed it yet. But
you got the PC version of Bioshock?
Mm-hmm, PC.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, the one with all the brilliant digital rights.
The fabulous secure ROM that everybody's so happy about.
Yeah, sorry.
I don't know if you guys talked about this since I was gone for pretty much the majority of the show. Did y'all talk about Ken Levine saying that is eventually going to be phased out?
We haven't gotten a chance to talk about that.
I saw that.
Where he said that. That's good.
Yeah, and I also
up the amount of installations on PCs.
Yeah, he said they weren't happy about that at all. I mean that was something that they shouldn't have done, and it's very true. I hate that this is what he's having to deal with, because it's like, okay, you basically made one of the greatest games ever, but what about this?
Yeah, he's not the only one that's had to deal with that. I feel bad for the people that are having to moderate the 2K games. And more specifically, the Bioshock board, because there are a lot of angry turd something or other, you had said earlier. I'll call them turd burglars, why not?
There you go.
One thing I was really impressed with, though, was how they dealt with the widescreen issue. People got really upset when they found out that if you played full screen, you got a little bit more viewable space. And they said, but we developed the game with the widescreen perspective in mind. All the developers have widescreen displays. We just decided that instead of cropping the side off for 4x3, we'd extend the vertical
Right, a little bit. And that's easy. I mean, that's easy to see in the screenshots. It's very much a true thing.
A lot of people just didn't accept that as an answer. So to make them happy, they made a patch that would enable them to basically just zoom the view out further, which I would never do. I wouldn't want to play it zoomed back that far. But he's kind of like, hey, you know, you bought the game. However you want to play it, you should be able to play it that way.
I kind of really would like to see a 90-degree field of view instead of a 75. I prefer 90 to 75, but... If I sit there in BioShock and think about it really hard, it's possible to get slightly upset about it. But then what happens is there's the game, and I completely forget about any problems I may have had with the FOV or with
the aspect ratio. They're saying it's not that bad, Christ, the BioShock thing. Yes, it is, because they, with the secure ROM being in the PC version, there were a lot of threads whenever the game came out over Steam and on PC that basically said, you know what, if you guys were gonna download the torrent, which already has the secure ROM protection removed.
Yeah, the torrent's already out, no protection whatsoever. So the people that are pirating
Tuca could have done worse. They could have used Starforce.
Yeah.
No, that would have been a lot worse.
It would have been a lot worse. But it's just another example of, you know, the people that pirate have less headaches than the people that buy the game.
You know, I completely understand about, you know, people wanting to, the developers, you know, people like, you know, 2K and id Software, Sierra, and all the other PC game manufacturers, they're all concerned about piracy, and that's a good reason, but please do not stick, you know, 15 bajillion levels of DRM on a computer.
Yeah, it reaches a level where it just gets too intrusive.
Yeah, I feel bad on that end of things, because I'm really glad that there are a lot of people playing this on the PC. I mean, thankfully, it was insert disc begin to drool for me, because it was on my 360. Yeah. That's basically what it was, and it was a completely unimpeded process, you know, between opening the box and absolutely going out of my mind with joy.
Also going to ask you guys, either of you or any of you in the studio there have had the chance to play Medal of Honor Airborne. The demo was out on Xbox Live.
Yeah, I did. I played that. I played it over the weekend. I don't personally have any issues with World War II first-person shooters, no matter how many there are. If it's fun to play, it's fun to play. I like World War II. I like first-person shooters. Sometimes I'm extremely easy to please and have low tastes. So, there's no barrier to entry for me. The only thing that really got me about the demo, as far as like what upset me, was, and again, this is on the 360, but moving with my iron sights up, they made it kind of difficult. The control scheme is not exactly to my liking, but otherwise, I enjoyed it. And they didn't give me much ammo. I like to have lots of ammo while I'm, you know, mowing down Nazis, or in this case, fascists, Italians, but. No, I did play it. I was pleased. I thought it looked really good. I heard it looked really, really good on the PC.
Yes, it does. And I put a link into the chat room with a slideshow that I made of basically pictures I took of the demo.
Oh, okay. See that. Take a look at it now. Yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of standard 360 first-person shooter fare. Mm-hmm. You know, it looks fine, plays fine. It's up to snuff. It's just that there's a lot of them that are. But like I said, I did hear that it was awfully nice if you had the requisite hardware for the PC. How did you feel about it, other than how it looked?
I really enjoyed it. Of course, unlike the BioShock demo, it actually had all the difficulty levels unlocked.
Right.
And I tried the highest level difficulty, and I was like, can't beat it. So I went and kind of nubbed it down a little bit, started the easiest level, and go from there.
Right. Actually, I did do that the little end user hack for the BioShock demo to play it on hard in the demo by changing the stuff in your profile on the 360.
Now, if I can find the link I had here, there is supposed to be a link on the Medal of Honor Airborne site where you can purchase the soundtrack in MP3 format. And as far as I know, it's DRM-free. It's offered through AstralWorks.
Are you talking about Medal of Honor, or are you talking about BioShock? Because I know
the BioShock orchestral soundtrack was made free.
Yeah, they made that free on the Cult of Rapture page.
good stuff.
Which I have downloaded but not listened to yet. I was really disappointed in the...
You
just bought the limited edition, and dude, it's got a soundtrack in there. And it's like, and I called you. I called you on the phone right after I bought the limited edition. And I was like, man, I saw the figure. I had to get the limited edition. This is great. It's got a soundtrack. You're like, yeah, okay. Sure it does, man. It's got three songs.
Yeah, it's got three songs. So, I was disappointed in that, too. However, I'm glad now that I can get that score for free. So that's good. And video game scores are good stuff.
Yeah, I think the price for the MP3 download of the Airborne soundtrack, I think, is $10. And the CD is either $15 or $16.
No. I think I would like that with my purchase, or free, perhaps. Those are the kind of things that I really don't want to pay for.
I'm looking forward to Medal of Honor. I'm looking forward to Stranglehold. Of course, we haven't gotten a PC demo of that yet.
No.
How are you guys dealing with the Little Sisters?
Huh?
Yeah, I'm saving all the way.
You are?
I am, absolutely.
Same here.
It's not a moral decision. I'll go back and I'll harvest later, but... Basically, I did harvest what I saved, after downing a Big Daddy, and did a save game, which that was a great thing to find out. It never occurred to me beforehand, but it was really nice to learn that you could save anywhere in BioShock, that there were no checkpoints. Mm-hmm. I think that would have been a really bad mistake. It's not like turn a corner, save, but, I save often enough, but I did once before... harvesting a little sister just to see, so I can have a clear understanding of it. And it's nothing. Everybody knows it's nothing. There's nothing shown. It's whatever. But saving them is actually a much more rewarding experience. Like, actually, I really feel good every time I do it. I love the animation. I love what happens with the sound design in that moment. It really does make me feel a lot better.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure why she crawls back into that hole after I just, rid her of the little weird slug inside of her that makes Adam. But whatever. She can go where she wants. I saved her. That's fine. And also, on a more practical side, I know that you get, twice as much Adam if you harvest as compared to saving. But, as thanks for saving the little sisters, the woman who is more or less in charge of their creation, who is actually still an active part of the narrative, thanks you every time you've saved all of the ones in a level. And so the next time you find yourself at a gatherer's garden, they leave you like a little gift. And in every one of those gifts, in addition to there being really good things, there's also extra Adam.
Yeah.
So somebody says I read online a couple days ago that there was a comparison at the end game of the total amount of Adam you get by harvesting and saving, gifts included. And the difference is like 10% less by saving. So even practically, you're not hindered that badly.
Yeah.
And it's just, it makes you feel good. It's a good achievement to have, so. But next time, no quarter for those creepy little girls.
That's what Ghost Bear said in the chat room. He says, I'm harvesting, with a big grin on his face.
Yeah, those little girls are evil. Like, yeah. They need my Adam.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for calling in, Mike, and talking to us. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it, guys.
All right, thanks so much.
Bye-bye now.
Have a good one.
And what are you going to do? So you haven't had time. Had time with BioShock. That's what you're doing this week.
Yeah, it'll be BioShock for me. I'll try out that Medal of Honor Airborne demo.
Yeah, but you'll
play
BioShock.
I will play BioShock.
That's what I care about now.
Yeah, I will.
The current, tens of thousands of people talking about it on the internet are not enough for me.
Yeah.
I need everybody in my personal local circle of friends
playing and talking. Yeah. Gabe and Tycho, when we were talking to him at the press event, somebody asked the question of, I'm not sure, what are you working on right now? And they said, we're doing this, this, and this. And Tycho's like, well, and BioShock.
Yeah.
have to play some of that. Yeah, and it's, not really, unfortunately, but it was, I didn't get a chance to play it for having to go to PAX. They had BioShock there on display on one of the monitors there for you to play through. I'm not sure if it was the demo. They had Stranglehold there.
Yeah.
It was the demo, but it was a different... It was the same demo we played, but it had different parts to it. It had different...
Really?
There was some different stuff going on in that thing.
Okay.
Did you
spend some time with that? Did you play it, or did you at least watch somebody
play it? I watched somebody play it,
okay.
And I'm trying to remember some of the... There was, like, the level was, and maybe it was just that full level, but there were different parts to it. You could go to different places, weren't blocked off. There were some differences there that were interesting. So it still made me wonder why the delay when they just gave us a demo. They got their reasons. So,
well, I mean, not the least of which would be coming out a week after BioShock.
Yeah,
everybody's
true.
Still playing BioShock.
That's true. There's 40,000 people who didn't get a chance to play BioShock because they were at PAX. So, yeah. Going to get a chance over the week now to take a look at that. But let's see, what else was going on at PAX?
Well, how about Penny Arcade Adventures?
Yeah.
I got a chance.
That was maybe a thing.
Yeah.
That
something going on there, yeah, from
now,
what I heard.
Seems that it turns out that. Despite what you may have heard here for like 3 weeks running, turns out it is coming out on
that was the big announcement.
Xbox Live Arcade.
I was like, yeah, it's coming out on Xbox Live Arcade. It is, I don't
think... sneaky so-and-so's.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't know where that got started.
We have no idea where that came from.
We were talking to him, but nothing's been happening.
Yeah. We were talking on the phone with Koo a couple weeks back, and we asked him about that, and he's like, oh, you know, he gave us that answer. Then we talked to Kristen the next time. And she gave us a... By the way, I got to meet all these people. I got to meet Kristen and Karin, and I did not see Mo. I did see Koo, who apparently shops at the $1 million store. Man, looked like $1 million. Walking around in a suit and tie and everything else. I got to see Koo during the Omegathon, but I got to meet Kristen, so it was really nice meeting her. Her husband is actually the lead for Hothead Games, working on Rainsick Precipice of Darkness.
Darkness?
Yes. Titles long.
So, man, I love staring Scott straight in the eye when he's saying something really complicated.
Blah, 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 blah. I go all
love watching you try to
go all jello mouth. So yeah, it's announced for Xbox Live Arcade. That is great. Loved it. Saw a trailer.
Is that where you're
going to
buy it? Because we were all talking about that. I mean,
for me, yes.
I'm because my computing platform of choice is Mac. Mm-hmm. Yours is PC. Jeremy's is
Linux.
But we all really, really appreciate, you know, the distribution of games like this on Live Arcade, as well as, you know, achievements and everything like that. So, at least for Jeremy and I know it's kind of tough to kind of think, where is it coming out? Because if something comes out, you know, first run for your oddball platform, if it's Linux or Mac, it's almost a rule that you have to support that, you know? For you, I guess it's a little easier, but... And I'm pretty sure we'll buy it on Live Arcade as well, again, for achievements and just mm-hmm. kind of seeing where we all stand next to each other.
Yeah, I may end up getting it for Linux and Live Arcade.
Yeah.
Especially since Becky's not going to play it on Linux, you know?
That's a good point.
She may well want to play it. So, who knows, I may have to purchase two copies.
That was announced. One thing that I did kind of find out was that Sam & Max is not as close to coming out on Xbox Live Arcade as
I thought.
Yeah,
that's a sad story. That was a sad story you told me.
It was a sad story for me, especially when I was talking to her. Where did my little book of people go? It's in my pocket. I had a meeting with Telltale Games, and I walked in, and they asked me if I had played season one of Sam & Max. I was kind of, you know, I kind of felt bad saying no, but I had my reasons. I said, you know, I haven't played the game because I'm looking forward to playing it when it releases. It was Emily. Emily was who I talked to. I talked to Emily as well as Jonathan and Dave Grossman, the design director for the game. And I said, no, I haven't played it yet, but I'm looking forward to playing it when it hits on Xbox Live Arcade. I think that's what I'm saving for is to just buy it there and play it, get the achievements and that sort of thing. She kind of looked at me and she's like, hey, yeah, don't wait. She's like, no, don't wait. Because they're working on Season 2 right now. They're working on the CSI game for the Wii and the 360. And they're not working on Sam & Max Season 1 for Xbox Live Arcade. That's not to say it's not coming, but they're not doing anything with it right now. So it kind of changed my mind. So I'm thinking I'm going to go to TelltaleGames.com and pick it up from there.
Yeah.
And throw a little support their way for making the game. It was really fun talking to them. And speaking of, there was the script of Sam & Max episode panel.
Right.
That a couple of guys from Evil Avatar, it's actually on the front page of EvilAvatar.com, they got to go to, and Random Violence got to voice Max in the trailer, and it's now up on Telltale Games' website, and now it's on, you know, the voice acting in games, the panel that I missed, I don't know what I was doing, I had to go to
another
panel.
You were probably eating.
I was probably eating, exactly, that's what I was doing, I was eating, But, yeah, I missed that. But talking to them was a lot of fun. They're working on a lot of stuff. She showed me a little bit of Season 2. I loved what I saw. I've always wanted. I was going to play the games. Again, I was just waiting, and I think a lot of us may have been waiting actually to pick that up for Xbox Live Arcade. But now I'll just download it from their site and give first season a go. And I think I'm going to really enjoy it. They're very big fans of not only the LucasArts but also the comic book. Very big fans of the comic book series of Sam Max, which they're going to be releasing the full series themselves. The comic book series, so that's something to pick up in the future as well. Let's see. Let's go to the phones. We've got UW Crash, I believe. Hey, man, you're on the air.
Hey,
how's it going?
Good. Good to see you guys this weekend.
Say again.
It was really great to see you guys this weekend.
Yes, it was very good to meet you, man. I appreciate all of us getting up together and meeting and grouping. Now, what did you, I saw you here and there, you know, around. What did you really enjoy on the floor?
I've been a really big fan of, like, the Ratchet and Clank series, so I was really happy to play that. That was, like, I think they said the build was, like, 2 months old. It was for E3.
I played maybe 2 minutes of that game before it was like, yeah, that's fun. You know, it didn't take long. I was interested in Ratchet and Clank anyway. And so after I played it, I thought, yeah, everything's still there, and it looks really good, so that's probably something I'll pick up. I played, what else they have? They had Uncharted there on display. Did you get a chance to play that?
No, I haven't Lair. Neither of them I got to.
Yeah, they had Lair, they had Uncharted, they had Heavenly Sword.
What did you think about Uncharted?
Tomb Raider with a guy, but it was still good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't need it to be more than that.
Yeah.
I need it to be good.
Yeah.
That's all I need. It's one of those things. It's one of, like, the few things that I think if that really does something, then I'm feeling better about buying my PS3.
Yeah.
Again, to reiterate for the billionth time, I want one. I need more things like that happening. Not just things that are cross-platform, but things that are happening only on the 3. So I like to hear good things like that. I like to hear more positive things about what's happening on that console.
Yeah. What else did you get to check out?
I had Judgment.
Yeah. Now, are you a card? Are you a card game type player?
No, I'm not.
And you really enjoyed Eye of Judgment?
Yeah. My friend Wacklin, guy I was hanging around most of the time.
You mean Tom Brokaw?
Yeah.
Okay.
Both of us were pretty interested in that beforehand for the show, and once we played it there, we're set on it. We're definitely getting it. But that's the only game that I actually went back for seconds on, because I won the first game, and he needed a rematch.
Who won?
He won the second game.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I destroyed him the first game.
Yeah. Well, no, it was a lot of fun. It was interesting stuff just to see that it was a card-based game, which, again, I am not... Man, when you try to explain those rules, it's like you're talking in a different language for me. And
yeah.
To know that basically you need to know some basics. You need to know what some of the things on the screen mean in relation to what you have and what you can play as far as the card. However, it's still, you lay a card down, it won't activate if you can't use it. It requires a certain amount of points,
right.
Amount of whatever to activate that, to activate certain cards.
Yes.
And so it just doesn't activate if you lay it down there. However, once you lay it down there, they fight, everything happens, and you don't have to do the math. It does everything for you.
Not having to worry about a 30-page rule book and knowing every word of it is...
Yeah, you don't have to take a rule book with you. You don't have to take a legal pad and a pencil with a calculator with you to get everything straightened out and figure out who's winning. So,
which is, of course, to some people, the real heart of the fun.
No, the tabletop gaming area was just loaded with people.
But for people like you and I who have never participated in that kind of activity just because we don't care for... Doing the math, as it were.
Hitting people with a
ring. You're gonna get one.
Yeah.
So I can see it.
Yeah. So you can see it. I have to be the whatever, the guinea pig.
Yeah.
In order for other people to enjoy. So, what else did you like other than Eye of Judgment? Anything else did you get to see out there?
It's interesting that they had the third .hack in this series, but I know that's not necessarily a popular game. I liked it, but also at Bandai Namco Bandai.
I kind of like it better the other way, actually.
Bandai Namco.
Eternal Sonata. I mean, it's hard to, like, sit there and play a role-playing game, but it's like the battle system and the graphics are as good as things have sounded online. Like the light dark in a battle, just walking into like a shade, and your attacks change, the monsters grow 3 times as big when they get in the shade, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I used to be excited about Blue Dragon, and then I lost my excitement factor on that, which again comes out this week as well.
Why did you? Was it because of the demo?
Yeah, because of the demo.
Yeah, see, I feel really, really bad, because that demo was like, here you are in the middle of circumstances that haven't even been remotely explained, without a tutorial of any sort. Mm-hmm. You know, play the game. And I think that demo was a really, really poor ambassador of that game, other than to showcase how it looks. And from what I can tell, it looks fine, but I still think I'm going to have to rent it to really decide whether or not it's something I'd spend money on. Because
yeah,
I like a good JRPG every now and then. You know, I like a little bit of that old school, you know, masochistic, painful RPG play. And I could, you know, it would be nice to have something in my 360 library like that. But I'm going to have to see a little more of it to see if it's worth really owning. I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to pick it up tomorrow, but after that, I don't know anymore. I certainly won't pick it up tomorrow. I don't know if a few weeks from now, it's Eternal Sonata anyway.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, is anything that gets passed by on release date now, I mean, even being pushed back in your own, on your own personal list, a matter of weeks, kind of dooms it to irrelevance when you look at some of the things over the next few months. So that's, again, it's kind of a shame. Some of those things got pushed back to next year. I'm awfully happy they did, because otherwise it was a real question whether they were going to, you know, earn my money or not. I don't know.
We'll see.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for calling in, man.
Sure.
Yeah, thank you
much. Appreciate
it.
Good seeing you out there at PAX, and hope to see you again next year.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Hope to see a lot more people there again next year.
Hope to see us there.
I do. I really
that
hope
would
to see
be
you
nice.
Guys there.
Uh-huh.
That'd be very
it
nice.
Be. It would be.
We're going to take a break here. We'll be right back with more Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV. And welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV. It's our After PAX edition. And let's see. Lots of people in the chat room who were there. Some of you who weren't. I hope everybody who's in the chat room goes next year to PAX. That would be wonderful to have a much bigger representation out there. We had a big one out there as it was, but yeah, just lots of fun. I've still got video that I took out there that I need to upload. However, my camera's in suitcase that is now missing. So,
along with my pink DS,
along with your pink
lightish
DS,
red.
Lightish red
DS, had a little slip there.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's not what the guys rummaging through Scott's luggage are saying.
Oh my God, it's a pink DS. So, and they've got games to play it on in there too. They got the DS browser to look at. They've got the Transformers game on the DS in there to look at. They've got Theme Park to play with, and if they've got a PSP, they've got the Katamari game to play on their PSP. I did get a chance to mess around with the new PSP, the new design,
the slim, the one that was attached quite literally to the waist of the Sony chicks.
Yes, you heard about that, did you?
Of course I did. I saw the photos. And, you know, I thought that was a little strange, but whatever.
Yeah. Coop had an interesting experience with one of those. He'll have to call in and tell you about it, because I wasn't there, but he was. I don't even know. Is he still in the... he's still in there, so hopefully he's listening to this. But he had an interesting experience. I tell you, though, that is... I really wasn't thinking much of the new design. I was like, okay, fine, whatever. I actually got a chance to hold it in my hands, and it turns out that... it's really relevant to the design change that the DS had. I mean, that new PSP is, like, significantly lighter.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, very... it's amazing how much lighter they made it. How much lighter they made it feel and everything. So, I think it's right up there with the change that took place for the DS Lite. You know, I still don't play much of my PSP, and I probably wouldn't, even though it's lighter. But yeah, good design. Way to go. Oh, what else? Just there's lots of stuff.
Well, pick one of those stuff.
The Omegathon.
Yeah.
You know that.
How
was
much
like,
of that did you see?
The entire thing. The entire last round I got to see. I saw a little bit of the Jenga. I watched a little bit of the Puzzle Quest because the guy I was on the plane, he was that's the round he got knocked out in, was the Puzzle Quest round. I kept looking over to the big Omegathon wall, and his face didn't have a big red X over it. So, but he was still there, and I thought, okay, this guy's going. That's some good stuff. So he makes it to the Puzzle Quest round. He loses in that round, and then I go in to watch the final round of the whole Omegathon thing, and it was... They huddled us all in there, and everybody came in, and Gabe and Tiger went on the stage and you know, talked a little bit about what's going on. They came out to the Final Countdown music.
Yep.
Yeah.
They do that in 2004.
Yeah, exactly. They came out, and they did that, and they introduced the Omega. Well, actually, they didn't introduce them yet. They got off the stage, and then everybody's, like, wondering, because normally the tradition is it's a very, you know, it's an old classic game.
Yeah.
First
year was Pong, in fact.
Yeah, and then you start seeing the screen flickers on there, and you're hearing some music. It hasn't really developed into that Halo theme, but you're hearing some live. You know, there's some live music being played. The mini bosses actually played a little bit of the Halo 3 theme, and then of course Cortana comes on and she starts talking. I'm like, okay, is this just a trailer that Bungie wants to show first before we get to the game? And then you realize that no, it's Halo 3. So that was a lot of fun being in a room with that many people. Some guy would pick up the first guy that got the energy sword. You just heard that, and then the crowd's just like, ah, whatever. It was great. And then the flamethrower, and then it was wonderful stuff. It was really cool to be in a big group of people like that watching a game going on. That's just, I want every time I play multiplayer to be like that. I want a bunch of people watching, cheering on whoever's playing. So it was good stuff. We got Coop on the line. He wants to tell us his story, I'm sure, of what he did to the poor girl holding the PSP. Go ahead, man. You're on the air. Go ahead.
All right. Well, like you said, the design is really light this time around. They definitely haven't given it any kind of new features. I asked them about the firmware updates. They said it's exactly the same as the original PSP. It's all aesthetic things. They've hollowed out the analog nub, and they've given it a slightly new design. It feels slightly more realistic to like an analog control stick would be. But they were tethered to these booth babes, and I was joking around with one saying that, you know, she's little and, you know, anybody could just walk off with the PSP and her attached to it. So I started asking her questions, and she, of course, she wasn't able to answer any of the technical things I was asking her about the new design. So we walked through the Sony area on the floor, me holding the PSP and, you know, her leading the way. And we found a guy to start asking questions, and after I was satisfied, you know, asking him a bunch of questions, I said, I looked at her and I said, "Are you ready?" She goes, "For what?" And then I made like I was going to make a break with the PSP. Unbeknownst to me, I was already at the length of the cable that was attached to her. So it made a spring-like jump out of my hand up into the air, and I just kind of stuck my leg out, tried to stop it from, you know, smashing on the ground. And when I looked, thankfully, her and the guys that I was talking to, you know, they were laughing about the whole scenario.
They didn't charge you $150-$200 for the machine, did they?
No, they didn't. It didn't hit the ground. It was still operating and everything. But yeah, I successfully made a fool of myself at that point, and I stayed away from the Sony booth the rest of the time, actually.
That's okay. Just try singing on stage. It works just as well.
Hey, man, you were good. It's all right.
Well, I appreciate it. I couldn't hear myself, which is kind of nice. I could hear, you know, Scott Weiland doing his thing, which I think would be better than hearing me. So, how did you like Rock Band?
I had a lot of questions.
How did you like the new guitar? We got to play with the new guitar design.
Unfortunately, I didn't get to do any of the solo stuff with the lower fret bars. They've added the buttons to the bottom of the fret bars where solos typically happen, the high notes and tremolos and stuff like that, and when you can switch between them. You can play either at any time in the game, but typically you'd play normally down at the lower end of the fretboard, and then for the solos you'd move up to the top.
and it's easier because they're not so far apart for your fingers. And that was a nice change as far as Guitar Hero. It seemed very responsive, the controls. I do miss, in Guitar Hero, they had the middle button had a more raised edge so you could feel where you were at on the fretboard. Theirs had a series of dots, and it really was very difficult to tell sometimes if your finger was on the button, and you wouldn't be able to tell where you were on the fretboard.
Yeah. But I tell you, when you look at the pictures, and we're sitting there holding what looks like real guitars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're definitely really pretty. I was checking out the top where the nut's at and everything. At a distance, you could almost mistake it for a real guitar, because they had even the switches for, like, the humbucker and the other pickups there. So it was very realistic feeling.
Koopa's had experience with guitars. So.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah. He got a chance to play this game. It's not a game, and I kept saying that, and they kept correcting me. It's not a game. It's called Jam Session for the DS.
Yes.
Okay.
You're going to have to explain this, because you'd be better at explaining this. You actually got to participate in a jam session playing your DS while another guy was on a real harmonica, and another guy was playing, like, a bass guitar or something.
Yeah, they had it. It was unfortunate. They had it in one of the sumo lounges. So it wasn't part of the main exhibition floor, so I think it may have gotten missed a lot, unfortunately. But I had heard about jam sessions before I came to PAX, and the idea was it's a tool to help you develop some music when you don't have access to a guitar. Some of the best examples are when you're on a plane, you know, or you don't have your guitar on you, and something kind of hits you in your head, which is done to me, where you know, think, oh, I have a great idea for, you know, a good lick, and you want to put that, you know, you want to solidify that to see if it actually sounds the way you think it will. Basically, what it is the touch screen has what looks like a string across the center of it. And you strum over the string, and it plays whatever note you're holding down at that time. What you can do is you program the D-pad, the eight directions of it, including the diagonals, with notes, common notes you play on an acoustic guitar. So you can do C major, you can do G, F, D, and all that stuff.
And you really don't need to know, I mean, like, I was watching you play, and I don't know how to play guitar. But I could sit there and play that, and the music would sound perfect.
Right. What you can do, it uses a little bit of music theory. You can set the D-pad up in any configuration you want. So C could be, you know, on hitting down on the D-pad for you, but up on the D-pad for me. Whatever's most comfortable. If you know what notes you're trying to get for. So you can configure it any way you want, and then you hold down the D-pad and you strum on the touchpad, and it makes a very realistic acoustic sounding guitar. And they also could even do palm muting on it. They had a little area on the screen where you start in that area and strum over the string, and it would make a palm mute on the guitar. And it sounded very realistic. I was very happy with the way it sounded. A lot of times when I've used programs typically on PC to synthesize a guitar, it sounds kind of twangy and, you know, electronic. It doesn't sound natural, and this definitely felt like a natural guitar. The guys, it was great because, like you said, they started playing the guy with the harmonica and the guy with the bass. It, you know, made you feel like, you know, hey, like you're in this like little band here playing some real guitar. But really what it comes down to is a tool to just get those ideas out. It has a recording feature. You can record a couple minutes on there. So if you know you really want to record this, so you can get back and write the tablature out or whatever, you can do that. It definitely seemed like a really novel idea. So the right direction to take this.
Okay,
sounds like a cool game.
Well, it's not a game.
Yes, I know.
You know, it was weird.
I was making fun of you.
Well, because that's all I ever called it. It was like, oh, I want to play that. I mean, there's no object to it. It's just something that you can sit there and actually make music off of. But it was really cool to see guys coming up to this other guy playing a DS. They had it hooked through an amplifier. And seriously, it would live up to its name. A jam session would just break out while some guy was playing a DS for a guitar.
Yeah.
So, which I thought was just really, really cool. So, anyway.
Yeah, It'll have its niche people. It definitely caters directly towards, you know, gamers who have a DS already, who have a musical background. And like I said, it's a great tool. It's something that I would definitely pick up if I was still into guitar playing. You know, just like you said, if I'm at work or something like that, and I think, oh, you know, this is a great idea, I'm on my lunch break, and just kind of whip it out and try it out, see how it sounds for myself.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you calling in and tell us your PSP story about, you know, embarrassing yourself. I like to not be the only one.
Yeah.
There's many embarrassing stories that haven't been said on this radio. So.
Yeah, I'm sure there are others. Yes, quite a few. But thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
All right. Well, we've only got about 10 minutes. You want to go over the weekly release?
Yeah, I was thinking about that actually while we were on our last break.
There's a lot of stuff. Let's see. For today, Carnival Games for the Wii came out. Metroid Prime 3 Corruption. Who's picking that up? Wow.
It'll be a little bit before I can get it.
Okay, I thought you'd be the.
He's saving for the 360.
Hope so. NHRA Drag Racing Countdown to the Championship 2007 for the PSP. Yeah. What else we got? We've also got Panzer Killer, which I almost said was Painkiller, but Panzer Killer for the PC. On Tuesday, we get Blue Dragon for the 360, Deadhead Fred for the PSP, Dynasty Wars Gundam for Xbox 360 and PS3, Garfield's Nightmare for the DS, which is interesting. Guild Wars, Eye of the North, they had that on display at PC, and Nick got a little bit of a chance to play that. He's apparently into the Guild Wars stuff. What else we have? Medieval 2, Total War Kingdoms for the PC, Monster Hunter Freedom 2 for the PSP, MotoGP 07 on the 360, some ninja dude for the PSP. It's Naruto again?
Naruto.
Ultimate Ninja Heroes for the PSP. Professional Fisherman's Tour Northern Hemisphere Edition for the DS. Stuntman Ignition for the PS2 and Xbox 360. They had that on display at PAX, and I played.
How'd you feel about it?
I played a different level that was in the demo, and I didn't. It's still going to be a rental for me.
Okay.
That could possibly turn into a buy if I can really get down the mechanics of what I'm doing. Let's see what else. They also had. Let me go back to the weekly release and then go back into what they had there at that booth. Tiger Woods PGA Tour 08 for. Here we go. PC, PS2, DS, PSP, Xbox 360, PS3, and Wii. Pretty much everything there for you. Warhawk for the PS3 comes out this week. I didn't know
that.
It's
actually available for download now.
Oh, is it?
Well, because remember, it's digital distribution.
That's right.
Through the PlayStation Network. And
Wild Arms 5. Okay.
We'll hear about that.
Okay, yeah.
No, it seems like a big deal. They've been in beta for a while. It seems like something that's kind of an important step. Yeah. For the PS3, in my opinion. Not just because of what the gameplay is, but because of its delivery method as well. I really want to hear a little bit about it from any of our listeners, maybe next week, if they've had some time to play with it.
I know there's some people from the site who are in the beta, so they'll probably pick it up. Wild Arms 5 for PS2 comes out this week as well. So there you go. There's your releases for this week. Not really any gems on there for me. Stuntman Ignition would probably be the only standout if I was going to look to play. But you know,
got other stuff to do.
Don't we have a live arcade release this week?
Oh, yes, we do.
Yeah, we do.
We have got...
This is one we're spending money on.
Yeah, we do. Super Puzzle Fighter HD... Super Puzzle Fighter Turbo HD Remix on Xbox Live Arcade. This was
That's
one...
Right.
I told the guys at Microsoft about it. I was like, oh, yeah, you're getting Puzzle Fighters coming on this week. And they're like, no, it's not. Well, we didn't say it was, so, you know, therefore, you don't know.
Yeah.
I don't care what you tell me. We didn't say it, so you don't know.
Right.
Let's see. So that comes out. And
there's also extra downloadable content for Bomberman.
Yeah.
And pretty
Customs,
cheap stuff.
A couple of levels. Yeah, that one's only working out to about...
$4?
I don't think it's even three. I think it's like the... 280, whatever point amount equals like $2.80 or something like that. It's cheap. Basically, it's, you know, I don't know, a sandwich or something.
So that, Mac. You know, you get that and you get Super Puzzle Fighter Turbo HD Remix, which, again, I'm finally glad that's here.
It's a great game.
It is. And it's online, finally.
I've been playing a lot of that.
Yeah, well.
It was a lot of fun.
So, good stuff there. I had a lot of fun at PAX. Is there any more questions before we go? We've only got a few more minutes left. Any other questions? It's going to probably just build up over the weeks.
I tell you what, there's going to be a lot as soon as we walk out of the studio that I think to ask. But, you know, honestly, I'm extremely excited about having you play BioShock. I'm ready to talk to you about it. I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
It's the more people who play it, the better, in my opinion, because I really like talking about it. But you have to kind of be careful because of, you don't want to drop spoilers on anybody or anything.
No. I don't want to be spoiled either.
You know what? Another thing, I finally got to beat Gears of War this weekend.
Did you?
While you were gone. Yeah, Kevin and I, Hoggy and I, spent the entire time.
Well, I was talking to Coop, actually.
Connected to each other. What we were doing was we didn't feel like playing BioShock alone.
Yeah.
So we would just get into a private chat and just play it. So
that way you could be there for each other going through the scary
string
game.
Of like howling expletives would come out of my thing. I'd be, whoa, what? What happened? Where are you? What happened? Where are you at? Just tell me where you're at.
Why did you just scream? Where are
Is
you
that
at?
Before me or after what I've done? Because exactly. I need to know. it was that sort of thing. So it was really actually a really fun way to play it. Much like how we used to play scary games, hot potato the controller around the living room, and everybody else watching.
Just don't play it alone.
I've got Becky playing. I've got Becky sitting beside me with a strategy guide open, and she's watching to make sure that I don't miss any of the tapes, the diaries.
Dana did exactly the same thing. She got my laptop. I was really scared at one point that I had missed one for whatever reason, and it turns out I hadn't. But I was done with the area. I was just scouring it.
Yeah.
She's being
really good. She's not like telling me anything, before I get to it.
Yeah, I get a little bit of the, oh man. And I'm like, what? Just get this before you go here kind of stuff. So it was a lot of fun. But yeah, when we had kind of had enough of that kind of game. It is. But Kevin and I had enough of the heart and throat syndrome here and there. So we finally, I've had the game for almost a year. We finally polished off Gears of War, which felt good.
Yeah, I was talking to co-op. We were sitting on the sumos. By the way, I can't speak highly enough of those sumos, man. I had never gotten I knew what they were, and I thought, well, it's just another beanbag. I don't want another beanbag. These are different. The testimonies that I heard from other people were like, oh yeah, the quality on these things are great. My dog sleeps on it all the time, and he can't tear the thing up. He can't scratch through it. Oh. He tries, but he can't get through it. It's just it's some good stuff. Those things are really cool. So we're sitting on sumos there playing handhelds or whatever, and the topic of burnout came up because I was there.
Did you bring it up?
Yeah, exactly. Burnout doesn't come up unless I'm there.
Yeah. out of nowhere.
To instigate. And so he said, you know what? I haven't even finished Gears of War, so I'm going to do that. It's like, dude, I haven't either. Let's co-op it.
Yeah.
Because I knew you and Kevin had been going at it, so... So hopefully he's listening, and me and Coop can co-op some Gears of War. He needs to add me on his friends list. I have no idea what his name is on Xbox Live, but my name on Xbox Live is...
Add any of us.
Yeah. My name on Xbox Live is the same name on Evil Avatar, same name on Mouse Look, same name anywhere. Right. It's Psychoboy 2 spelled with Psykoboy 2. You're Fishbang.
Fishbang.
Jeremy?
On Xbox Live? Straximus.
Yeah. Straximus. Yes. Straximus. Anybody out there in listener land, feel free to add any of us.
And
always looking for more people to play with.
And Zilladana, our wonderful phone screener, is... It's not the same as Zilladana. It's actually Soulless Toast.
Soulless Toast. Thank you, random name generator on Xbox Live.
Yeah, exactly. That's where we got that from.
I also beat Overlord.
Oh, that's right. You did. Yes. You did.
You go zero corruption or what?
I went zero corruption.
All right.
Good for you. Yeah. Good for you.
I got to go back full corruption now, but I can't.
You're having a pretty decent good guy run here. Zero corruption, save the little sisters.
Yeah, yeah.
That's nice.
I guess I should play BioShock killing the little sisters, huh? Since everybody else is saving.
No, up to you. Kevin. Okay. Kevin's harvesting. There's plenty of people harvesting. Do whatever you want to do. Don't mix it up. It's only rewarding if you go one or the other, honestly. So don't mix it up.
Yeah, I had to learn that quick in Overlord. I was like, oh, I better be careful. Because I killed that one guy. I threw fire in the wheat field, and he happened to be standing in there. I didn't know it spread. I thought, okay, I'll just, that little quadrant will be gone. But no, it's all relative. So, yeah, the cool stuff there. I just want to thank everybody from Evil Avatar who made PAX just a wonderful experience. I want to thank Gabe and Tycho and everyone at Penny Arcade, Kristen, Karin, Ku, Mo, who was doing all that stuff, all the enforcers who were there doing the best they could. I tried to get your pictures. After, 17 of you, I said, screw it. ain't no way I'm getting any further than this. So, all the enforcers were doing a great job. All the exhibitors were doing great jobs out there. They had some great stuff. They were very, very good to the people that they were talking to. They weren't being, just... a-holes. They weren't, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I have heard no end about how they are the glue that holds the expo together. So.
Yeah, the enforcers were like, you walk up to them, they may not know what you're looking for, and they may not know the answer to your question, but just like, you know what, I don't know, but if you go right over there and talk to him, he may, and if he doesn't, right, he'll send you somewhere else that may. But, you know, it wasn't just like, I don't know, go away. You know, it was very friendly, wonderful, wonderful time, and it was just great stuff. And so just want to thank everybody over at Penry Arcade for putting this thing together.
Good job.
And they're going to do it again next year, and it's going to even be bigger.
Even be bigger?
Yeah, big, yes. Shut up. Anyway, I guess that's what we'll leave on. I want to thank everybody in the chat room as well. Been a great show. Sorry I've been sick. I hope I get my luggage back.
Me too.
Sorry, I've been so scatterbrained as well. So, anyway, that's going to wrap it up for this episode 71 here of Evil Avatar Radio. We will see you next week here on 1170 WACV.